Pam 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 pam. He's double shooting me. That means we're live with the Keto Kid.
The Keto Kid. I've been doing for 6 days.
He's the Keto Kid now. That's your new nickname, the Keto Kid.
That's hilarious. The Keto Kid.
I'm just happy you're doing it, man. You know, before we get into the UFC stuff, Brendan and I were talking before this about he started the no sugar diet. He went straight keto.
Which is crazy for me. So.
Yeah, for you, crazy. Dude. I was like, there's no way he's ever going to do this. You're so addicted to candy.
I was the straight candy man.
Like, you
candy
and Ari
in my
Shaffir,
car, everything.
Ari Shaffir is probably the worst I've ever seen.
Really?
He'll take a day off candy, and he'll just eat, like, pasta and bread all day. Like, giving his body candy in
God,
some other form.
Damn. Yeah, for me, I think it was just, like, I've tried all these diets, and I've never got the results I've wanted to. And
it's
then
hard.
As soon as I started doing this, everyone's like, be careful, man. The cravings, you're going to have headaches. I haven't had shit. Matter of fact, I work out more.
Was it hard at all over the first couple of days?
No.
That's interesting.
Not at all. Not at all.
Well, you know, if you talk to that Mark Sisson guy, he would probably say that your body just adapts really well to it. That's what I would probably imagine. But I think, like, to be sure you're even in a state of ketosis, you got to measure your blood. But it's going to be annoying for you, just like it was annoying for me. I have to find out where's the right place to stab yourself, because the fingertips weren't working for me.
It's like the little insulin when you check your blood sugar?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they weren't getting through my fingertips.
You have some thick-ass fingers.
Thick-ass fingers. It's all those kettlebells.
Calluses, son.
I got some serious calluses up in here.
I hear you.
Over the last
should be able,
years
I think most guys doing
heavy.
Their pinky. My dad's diabetic, pinky. So I see him doing the pinky all the time. He has some big old banana fingers.
Somebody sent me one, though, and they said there's a legit one now for your breath. That the ones for the breath used to suck, but now they have one that's legit.
And it shows what level of
it shows,
ketogenic
yeah,
you're at?
Yeah.
Ketosis, really?
I have to look into that. I don't even remember who sent
dude,
it to
I
me.
Don't give a fuck. I just feel good.
Whoa.
You know what I'm saying? I just feel good. I'm just going to keep doing it.
Dude, you're going to feel, this is the crazy thing. You're going to feel this way, and this is how you feel now. Like, you know, this thing in the middle of the day where you get tired, that's going to go away. And I got that when I went to Mexico when I'm on vacation, had a great old time. But I said, fuck it, man. I'm in Mexico. I'm on vacation. I'm going to go off my diet. I'm going to have some fucking burritos, you know.
Never
I'm
going to
have
mad
some tortillas.
Why not?
I'm getting in there. I had tacos. I had the whole thing. And then I said, fuck it. While I'm doing that, I might as well get dessert. Dude, I felt like diggity dog shit. When you haven't done that
the
in 2 months.
The next day you did?
No, then, right away.
Just crashed the sugar.
Yeah, right away I felt terrible after eating the cake. And then later in the day, I mean, I could barely stay conscious. You can't do that anymore.
Yeah, I think my thing was, is I've always wanted to do it, but I never really had a strict reason to do it. Like something that just put me over to finally make the decision to do it. And I was thinking about how much you do, because I have a lot of stuff going on. I'm like, dude, I'm getting tired, man. I'm not doing that well. Like, I could be doing better, just mentally more clear, and I'm working out, doing all this stuff. And you and I have been talking about it for a while, and I was like, fuck, I might as well try it, man, because coffee really does nothing to me anymore. I could drink 6 cappuccinos before I go to bed and sleep just fine. Just fine.
You probably
just
never fine. Get into REM sleep at all.
Nothing,
like, that's what
dog.
Happens.
So I'm like, I got to do something. And dude, it's been great.
Wow. That's amazing. Good for you.
Well,
it gets easy.
12-step program, son.
It gets easy because after a while, you just look at food as like, oh, well, this is what I'm supposed to be eating. That other stuff isn't food. You know, like, you don't look at a candy bar like, oh, that would be good right now.
That's what's crazy to me. I'm not like... Like, you were talking about how you have those ketogenic, like, Reese Pieces or whatever. I don't even want to try that bullshit.
Yeah, these are, I should give them a shout out. Quest Labs sent us a bunch of stuff when they found out that we were,
And Quest are great. I know those guys. They're great. But, like, even, like, sweets or something that simulates sweets, I don't want that. It's
even,
weird,
but that's,
man.
This stuff's good. Like, they have crackers. You can eat these crackers. These are like keto crackers. They're saltines.
I fucking hate crackers now.
Whoa.
I don't give a fuck. I'm against carbs in any form.
Those aren't really carbs.
I know.
What the fuck they are.
I don't like the way they look anymore, Joe. Yeah, son.
Look at you. You're a new man.
I know, man. I feel good. Panda, a week later, I'm just 300 pounds.
This is some stuff I've been taking too. It's called ketogenics, and it's exogenous ketones. These are, I don't know if that guy, Dom DiAgostino, had something to do with this. Somebody told me. I need to research it further. But these are exogenous ketones. You take this and you mix that with water, and it puts you in a state of ketosis really rapidly, like within an hour.
12 carbs, though.
Yeah, but it's okay for the whole day. This episode is brought to you by ZipRecruiter. If you're looking for something to do this summer, you might want to check out some of the upcoming fights. Even better if you can catch them up close in person. It's quite an experience. But if you want to get the best seats, you have to act fast. And that's true for a lot of things in life, especially when it comes to hiring for your business. You need to hire the most talented people you can before the competition scoops them up. And to do that, you need ZipRecruiter. And luckily, you can try it for free at ZipRecruiter.com/Rogan. Got your eye on a rock star candidate? ZipRecruiter's invite to apply feature lets you cut the line. Once you review ZipRecruiter's list of the most qualified candidates for your job, you can easily invite your top choices to apply to encourage them to apply sooner. So, amp up your hiring performance with ZipRecruiter and find the best fast. See why 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. Just go to ZipRecruiter.com/Rogan to try it for free right now. Again, that's ZipRecruiter.com/Rogan. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire. This episode is brought to you by BetterHelp. You guys know how much it means to me to stay in shape physically, but your mental well-being is just as important. When we keep things bottled up, it can start to affect us negatively. Even if it seems like something small, like maybe you're stressed about work, maybe you feel a little lonely, it all starts to add up. And if you don't deal with it, well, these feelings will sit there and continue to fester. One way to work through whatever's weighing you down is talking. It helps more than you think. And if you need a safe place for that conversation, I recommend therapy. It's a great tool that you can use to figure out your feelings and learn positive coping skills. So if you want to give therapy a try, check out BetterHelp. It's entirely online, convenient, and flexible. It's easy to get started, too. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist. And you can even switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/JRE today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/JRE.
I mean, how much? Again, I don't need anything. I have some nuts in my car covered in cinnamon. I'll snack on those all day, be just fine. Never hungry.
You're very dedicated.
Something's going on right now. I got nuts in my cars. I have nuts
what
in
kind?
My car.
Like macadamia?
Almonds.
Ooh, almonds are good.
Almonds, man. With
almonds
just
are good.
Cinnamon on top.
You know what I do? I eat those pistachios that are already shelled.
Oh, so you got to crack the shell open?
No, they're already shelled.
Oh, you're saying, no, they're not shelled.
Exactly. No. Shelled meaning the shells were removed.
Oh, word.
Yeah, that's
shelled. Is that the correct term? Shelled?
Yeah. Shelled.
Well, wouldn't... Okay.
Yeah, like, I mean, what would be a good
comparison? It's not unshelled?
No, I don't believe so. I think they say shelled, meaning that they've been removed from the
shell.
Because
someone goes, hey, you want some shelled...
Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe it is unshelled.
If you want some shelled nuts, I'd say, well, is there anyone can unshell them?
What you're saying makes total sense.
I know.
Well, whatever it is, I buy them in the bag with no shells. Let me just put it that way.
I don't like that.
And it's a big giant ass bag, and I just force feed them.
I like the work. It's like with sunflower seeds. I don't like just regular sunflower seeds. I gotta have the shell.
Yeah,
I like
I
the
know.
Work.
A lot of people do that, man.
Like if you just got a plate of crab meat, fuck that noise. I want the legs to crack open.
I see.
Is that weird?
No. There's merit to that.
Yeah, I don't know.
I get it. I had some regular pistachios the other day, and I had to work for them.
It's rewarding.
Yeah, and they were kind of like flavorful on the outside. I enjoyed it.
Yeah, I like sucking
but
on the
shells.
But
sometimes I just like to pour a coffee cup full of pistachios and just eat that shit while I watch TV.
See, I'll do a mix. A little macadamia nuts, cashews, all unsalted. I hate salt.
Dude, you're so healthy now. What's going on?
I don't know what the fuck's going on. I don't know. I'm like this fucking new fucking keto... It's weird, man. The keto kid. That made me fucking...
Are you stupid. Are you getting a lot of vegetables in, too?
Yeah, tons of veggies. Yeah. You know what my big thing is? I've ate it every night for dinner since I've been on the diet, is I do like a a shredded lettuce cabbage mix that I saute and I put buffalo meat in it. And then I'll put like hot sauce on top of that. Every night, that's what I have for dinner. I know. I look forward to it too.
Wow.
It's so weird.
Yeah, weight is going to melt off your body too. The first few pounds that you lose, obviously I'm not a doctor, are supposed to be just your body adjusting to this new lower inflammation diet. You don't have as much inflammation, as much water storage in your body.
Yeah.
And you just get rid of some of that. And then your body, as it starts burning off fat, one of the coolest things is you don't get those crazy hunger cravings either. It's a completely different kind of hunger.
Well, plus it lasts longer, right? Because you're eating these fats, mm-hmm. so your body's not spiking insulin, right? It's like more of a steady
pace. And the spike in insulin is fucking real, man. Because like I told you, I cheated in Mexico, and then I cheated one other time. I just said, "Fucking, I want a cheeseburger and a milkshake from this like old timey
diner."
So
American.
I was so dead afterwards. It was like somebody poisoned me. I mean, it was it's so dramatic, man.
Like, no, bitch.
No, I really did feel like I was having the hardest time getting up off the couch. I was like, God, I can't. I just couldn't breathe. It was like my body had just shut down to process
that garbage,
bullshit.
Yeah, it's like, what the fuck is this? I think the only thing that took me a while to get used to was so much MCT oil.
Yeah, you got to be careful with that, though.
I texted you yesterday. Yeah. I was running, man. I took a bunch of this new MCT oil. I swear to God, I was like, it's Venice. I might as well just shit my pants right here. Like, no one's going to give a fuck. I will just shit everywhere.
Yeah, there's a tipping point with MCT oil where it just opens a floodgate to your booty hole.
Yeah, there's a floodgate to your booty hole. There's no, like, third gear. It's, right? Like, first or fucking sixth gear, man.
And where is it? Is it, like, 2 tablespoons?
I'm trying to figure it out.
Is it, like, 3 tablespoons? You're gone.
That shit is the perfect storm for explosive diarrhea.
Yeah, if you want to clean out the pipes, you don't need a colonic.
But it's not like, I got to take a shit. It's, like, it's coming. You better fucking figure it out.
You're squeezing your butt up, and you're tensing up your innards. You're trying to, like, clamp it down from
the inside.
I have
to stop running. I was like, I better come up with a game plan here. Whoa. My mouth started watering. Like, oh shit.
And there's that battle that you play. It's very similar to the battle when you're trying not to come. You know, the battle when you're trying not to come, just squeezing your dick and your fingers. Jesus!
Shit is.
It's very similar to that. I don't want to shit my pants. Power. You have willpower. Because there's some weak people in the world that just shit their pants more than they should.
You can't be my friend. If you just give up and shit your pants, lose my number.
I just don't know what to do. It hurts to keep my butt tight.
You just got no willpower, man.
Yeah, but then I've shit my pants before, too. It's like, here's the deal. It's okay to tap out. Just don't tap out like a bitch.
No, at least put up a fight. I mean, it's all right if you're going to lose the fight.
Be actually in a position where you have to tap.
Yes.
Don't just tap because you're uncomfortable.
You're sweating and it's just, you have no other options.
Yeah.
Didn't Callan lie to you one time and said he shit his pants and then showed up with regular pants?
Well.
That's one lie you just can't do.
He said that he couldn't make it to the show at the Ice House.
I love this story.
Because he shit his pants. And I said, what are you talking about? He goes, I shit my pants. I can't come. And I said, Brian, these people came to see you. They're here to see you. And he goes, what should I do? I go to a fucking bathroom at a gas station, take your fucking pants off, throw them in the sink, clean the shit out of your pants, wring them out, and then get over here with wet pants on and a story.
How old is he at this time?
Oh, like a year ago. This is
and
a
he's
year
asking
ago.
You, what should I do?
Oh, you got to show up, man. You got to show up. Like, people don't want to smell shit on you. So if you could just get to the bathroom for 5 minutes, you could fix all that. It's going to take a little work, and you're going to wear wet pants. But that's what you have to do.
Better
if
than doo-doo pants.
People paid. They're Brian Callan fans.
Yeah, they don't give a fuck if you have doo-doo hanging out your pants. Tell some jokes.
So he shows up 10 minutes later. His pants are dry. And I go, what happened? And he said, oh, I had a pair of pants in my trunk.
The worst lie of all time.
A pair of pants in your trunk. I don't know what. I didn't even want to ask what was really
going
on.
You can't even get into it. Because if you shit your pants as a grown man, I mean, it ain't a simple procedure. There's some steps you got to take.
Maybe that's the next shirt. So I had another pair of pants in my trunk. Who carries pants in their trunk? Have you ever had a pair of pants in your trunk that you didn't know about?
Never.
Like, you shit your pants and you go, what is the odds? The pants are in my trunk.
Never. I guess when I'm older, I might.
I might have a baseball hat in there. And I can cover my balls.
I love that story. Out of all the lies, shitting your pants?
I don't know if
it was
a lie. I'm
going to need some shit stuff. I'm going to need to see some stuff.
I do not know if it was a lie, but goddamn, he smelled so normal. I mean, I would have just...
Only Callum. It's the best. It's the only he could do that.
How can you shit all over your pants and just find new pants?
I mean, I guess it was like
throw your pants away?
If it's like a clean log, though, you could figure it out.
Yeah. If you like felt it coming out, you're like, oh, okay, we see what we got going on here. This is a blockbuster. This is a fucking lumber roll.
This is one of them submarines. Yeah. We'll figure it out.
This is one of them lumber roads. They have those trucks that go down on those so gigantic cedar logs.
Shit, 20 minutes.
Like, oh boy, here we go. But then there's ones you're like, oh my god, this is 100% diarrhea.
Oh, that MCT oil. There's no guessing. That yeah, shit is. Whoa. You will spray paint your pants brown.
There's a feeling. It's like your butt has different levels of sensitivity. Your butt knows when you're gonna blow out a hard, like a beefy pot roast shit. You know, one of them thick, dried out shits that's very dense. Your butt knows. Your butt's like, look, we're eventually going to have to sit down here.
Prepare
this is
going
to be a big one. So I want you to get a magazine.
Get your mind right,
yeah,
son.
Make sure your fucking iPhone's charged up.
But then there's the fire drill. Then there's the fucking fire drill. And that's what I had in Venice yesterday.
But you know, before you see, you're not even, you can't see your asshole even if you had to. Unless you're an acrobat. There's no way to even see your asshole without a mirror.
MCT oil, there's like, it's like a 10-second warning. We're like, oh, shit.
Right,
oh,
but
oh,
you know
God.
What I'm saying? Like, there's a certain level of sensitivity.
Oh,
like,
for sure.
If you had to explain that, if you had to explain the feeling of what is it like when you have to take a shit, you'd be like, well, there's different kinds of feelings when you have to take a shit. There's like, eventually I'm going to have to take a shit. There's a, oh, God. Oh, boy, I got, this is going to be a whopper. But it's a shit. And then there's,
You're talking about that terrorist level five
there's
shit.
There's that diarrhea red. Feeling. Like, there's signals in your body that we always think of. We put them in, like, one classification. But they're radically different feelings.
It's complicated. It is.
It is complicated.
If you break it down, it's complicated.
It's complicated. The diarrhea feeling is super complicated. It's like, whoa, how do I know? How do I know that this is about to come flying at me?
My body starts sweating, too. Brace yourself, son.
Ooh, yeah.
You're about to get active.
Mm, yeah. And some foods, too. Some foods are just, like, sometimes spicy food, for whatever reason, just breaks stuff loose off the walls. And there's a goddamn avalanche.
A fucking mudslide.
It's a fucking broken fire hydrant coming out of your asshole.
It is complicated, though. We could do a podcast for 3 hours straight on shit.
Yeah. Yeah, man.
Oh,
it's very important. It's very important.
It's so hilarious.
So easy on the MCT oil, kids.
Yeah, brace yourself.
Moral to our
story. Yeah.
You're supposed to have, like, at the most, like, a couple of tablespoons.
Yeah, don't squirt that shit directly
in
your mouth.
It's not going to kill you, but you will shit your pants.
Yeah, you'll piss out of your asshole. Straight up.
The big combination, if you really want to clean the pipes, is those Hulk load shakes, kale shakes that I make with MCT oil in it.
Preach.
Whoa. I started adding coconut oil. Coconut oil is nice. I scoop it out, a couple of, extra virgin or whatever the fuck it is. Get a nice couple of tablespoons, throw it in there. But then I decided to go hard and go with the
MCT. Go hard in the paint.
Go MCT oil. And I forget the number that I use. 4 or 5 tablespoons.
You fucked up.
Yeah. I use 4 or 5 tablespoons for one of those blenders. There's about, what do you say that is? About 16 ounces? No, 20 ounces maybe. So 5 scoops of MCT oil.
I mean, what were you thinking, though?
I don't know. I want to see what happens.
Usually I'm always down for more means better, you know?
I didn't know back then. When I first started shitting myself.
See, I knew.
Coming close to shitting myself, at least.
I knew, and I still fucking do it.
I didn't know it was MCT oil that was doing it. I thought it was the intense amount of fiber from the hemp shakes or from
the
kale shakes.
Yeah.
Yeah, all the, you know. I mean, there's cucumber in there and carrots in there, or celery, rather, and ginger and garlic and usually like a piece of fruit, like an apple or something like that. Like, there's so much fiber. I thought it was just blowing everything out. But there's a big difference between when I had the extra MC2 oil. It's like a turbo
on your engine.
Is it lubing everything up? Why is that?
It just gets in there and wreaks havoc. It just gets in there and fucking.
But why does it make it all come out as liquid? Like, what is happening?
It's complicated.
How the fuck does that work? But it seems like it would be a good thing. Like, it would be uncomfortable, but, like, something like that would clean you out.
I think it's a good thing.
Probably.
I feel like it. I hope so.
Yeah. I hope so, too. Anyway, yeah. Good source of healthy fats. Just take it easy, fucks.
Yeah. Easy, man. More is not better.
Yeah. So, big UFC this weekend. That's one of the reasons why we sat down here.
God, we start talking about shit in our pants.
We talk about shitting for 25 minutes.
Sorry, man.
We can talk about whatever, though.
No, yeah, a big UFC this weekend, but I was talking to you through text. I feel like no one's really talking about UFC 197 because the Conor. Straight up the Conor. That's all I'll refer to him now. Yeah, the Conor.
The two best pound for pound fighters in the world, universally heralded two best pound for pound fighters. John Jones and Demetrius Mighty Mouse Johnson fighting on a card this weekend, and no one's talking about it.
Oh, and Anthony Pettis is on that bitch.
And Anthony Pettis versus Barboza. Yeah. But John Jones, in my opinion, he's number two. Not that he's not awesome. I just go off technique. I think that Demetrius Johnson is on another level.
I think he has to be on another level because he's so small. But I think what John Jones does and his risk of losing is so much higher than Mighty Mouse's, and he's destroying dudes.
Yep.
And not training. And high as fuck. Let's toss that on top of it.
You got good points there, but just because you didn't train, it doesn't make your performances more valid. Like, because you beat Daniel Cormier and you did coke 3 weeks before, you still had the same fight with Daniel Cormier. Just because you went 5 rounds with Alexander Gustafsson and struggled because you didn't train, you still struggled. So although I agree that John Jones at his best is the motherfucker. I mean, John Jones at his best, when he choked out Lyoto Machida, when he just dropped him and walked away.
See, I don't think it's
like a
contest.
An assassin.
Yeah, I don't think it's a contest because I think John, the way he's beating guys, he's facing tougher competition. You could argue that. And his margin of error is so much smaller. Like, let's say DJ has one off night and someone lands a big like right hand on him. He'll figure it out and that right hand's not going to land again. If John Jones has an off night against even OSP, and OSP lands a huge left hook, it's over, son.
It's true. You've very good points. These are very good points. Absolutely.
And think about the legends he's beat. Mighty Mouse, you know Mighty Mouse's next fight, if he gets past Cejudo? He's fighting the winner of The Ultimate Fighter. That's what the fuck we had a result to. There's just no one for him to fight.
Wouldn't he fight Benavidez?
No. No. His next fight, they said, if he wins this fight, he's going to fight the winner of The Ultimate Fighter.
That sounds crazy.
But that's where
that's what he says. People don't look at those little tiny guys.
I know it sucks, man, because he's so talented,
so good.
I actually think it's better for the sport. I love Demetrius Johnson. I love DJ. I absolutely love him. I think he's great. I think it's better for the sport if Cejudo wins.
What?
Yeah.
Why do you say that?
Because of his upbringing, his background, Olympic gold medalist, didn't go to college, just pursued the Olympics straight out of high school and won gold, the youngest ever to win gold. You know, his Mexican roots, I think the UFC could use more of that. DJ needs a nemesis. Like Aldo had McGregor, right? Aldo's never been bigger now.
Right.
I think DJ needs a nemesis. And if he beats him, we don't have one. He fights the fucking Ultimate Fighter winner.
It's true. Or unless he beats him barely, you know. Who knows?
But even then.
Look, Cejudo's not a joke. He's the best wrestler in MMA today. I mean, arguably, that's competing in a 125-pound division. Who's ever had more wrestling accomplishments? He's an Olympic gold medalist.
Gold medalist.
I mean, that's the beast of the beasts. So you know he's a winner. He's just a straight winner. The real question is that cut to 125 too brutal?
Because he's looked good in his fights. The scary thing to me, though.
But would he look better if he didn't cut?
I always think they would.
A guy like him, I wonder if he's got that wrestler's mentality to always be the biggest guy.
Look what he did cutting that weight, though.
Yeah.
He has it down to a science. So usually the wrestlers are a beast at it. Mm-hmm. Like DC, amazing.
Yep.
Hendo, amazing. You're talking about guys who never really miss weight.
Well, how about Rumble back when he used to go down from like 200 plus?
That shit was just unhealthy.
And get to 170. It was insane.
Just unhealthy. I can't believe no one was like, God, I feel like it's a bad idea. You might die.
And then
Dada was like, nah, I got this. Dead. Dada died. That's why you can't have that shit.
Well, but they said Dada only had to lose like 3 pounds the week of the fight.
Still, though, I'm just saying, you better know your weight cut, son.
Yeah, I think there was a lot of other issues going on there physically. We just wasn't prepared for that. But there's a big difference between him and a guy like Cejudo.
I know, I'm just being silly.
Yeah, I know.
No, Cejudo's the fucking best in the business. He's a master at weight cutting. You just look at his, you know, his wins, all submission, I mean, all decisions, his level of competition. DJ, I think he's number 2 pound for pound best. Good luck, man.
Yeah.
And DJ's a motherfucker.
He's an artist, man. He's my favorite guy to watch because you just don't get to hit him. You don't get to. It's not how it works. Well, how it works is he's going to be moving. You're going to be reacting. You're going to think he's going to go left. He's going to go right. He's going to punch you in the face while he's doing it. He's going to circle out, leg kick you on the way out, and then enter when you think he's going to exit, go to the right when you think he's going to go to the left, and constantly switch between takedowns and punches, and he gets you up against the cage, and he drops down for doubles and comes up with an elbow, and it's all creative.
It's all
flowing together.
I agree. And there's no one with better skills than him.
No.
But I don't think that makes him the best fighter.
It's a good
point. If that makes sense. But I also think if I'm DJ, I'm going to sit there and go, God, how the fuck can I become a draw? I'm tiny. People don't give a fuck about tiny people. Let's see. The one guy who's beat me, Dominic Cruz, is a massive star.
Mm-hmm.
I need to go up and wait and fight Dominic Cruz. That's the fight.
Well, that's not a bad fight.
He should grab the mic after he beat Cejudo and go, Dominic, you're the last guy to beat me, especially in the UFC. Before that, it was homeboy, the freaking Irish cat. I forget his name. Anyways, he just needs to get on the mic and go, yo, the last guy to beat
Brad
me.
Brad Pickett?
Pickett, yeah, exactly. Yeah. Pickett beat him in decision.
English guy, I knew who you were talking
about,
though.
Sorry, man, WC. Yeah, my bad. Love that guy, my bad, Brad. But he just needs to get on the mic and create some sort of hype. Like even the Cejudo thing, to the common fan, they're like, what? These are two tiny dudes.
It's hard.
But to stay at 125, it ain't happening, man. You're not going to become mainstream. You're not going to make a lot of money.
Well, I wonder, though. Well, maybe you're right, because if Cejudo beat him, then maybe he can have a lot
of money.
Yeah,
then we got a little bit of drama.
Yeah. Well, we'll see. Look, it's not outside the realm of possibility.
So the best thing for him, Cejudo beats him and talks some shit. It's kind of back and forth fight, and then they fight again. We'll watch that rematch. Or let's say he just destroys Cejudo. Cejudo, don't wait for the Ultimate Fighter winner. We don't give a fuck about those small guys in the Ultimate Fighter. Get on the mic, call out Dominic Cruz, son.
I wanted to see Cejudo versus someone like Benavidez.
Me too.
I wanted to see Cejudo versus like a real veteran.
But then if, let's say he fights Benavidez and Benavidez beats him, you want Benavidez Mighty Mouse 2?
Or three.
Three?
Yeah. I do. Yeah.
Again. I get it. You do.
Listen.
Everyone else does not. And Benavidez is, I love that dude.
Well, there's two ways of looking at it. As a excitement junkie and as a fan of the art form. For me, as a fan of the art form, I want to see DJ with as many different tests as possible because I'm a big fan of technique and movement, and I think he's the highest expression of technique and movement today. I
agree.
Because his combinations, the way he stifled Dodson. You don't stifle Dodson. Dodson's a hurricane. You got cows flying around your yard. You know, the fucking satellite dish will take your head off as it comes off the roof.
Yep.
He's so fast.
How about with Bagatinov when he fought him?
Oh, yeah.
Bagatinov, he out-cardioed him. He was on EPO.
He was on EPO
and they're 125 pounds. And he out-cardioed him.
But
what the fuck?
Bagatinov's got that style. That's that Russian style that sometimes works but sometimes doesn't. That fucking... Those guys get
They can see
tense.
The shots. Yeah.
They get tense and they... every punch is...
It works at heavier. It works at heavier weights.
It can work. Bagatinov fucked a lot of people up.
He did until he met a motherfucker.
25. He met a motherfucker, yeah.
But I just think, like you said, there's from a purist point, it's like, yeah, Mighty Mouse, keep doing your thing. As a guy looking at what's best for him, because he's going to fight, right? He's just keep fighting.
Yeah.
How can we make the most money and get you the most fame and the best competition? Dominic Cruz.
Mm-hmm. I agree with you. It's the best matchup in that they're virtually... identical size-wise. And size-wise, they're only 10 pounds off.
Yeah, man. And they're both, I'm talking about world champions, the highest level. You want to talk about a super fight? They're not that far off.
10 pounds at 125, though, is actually quite a bit.
That is a lot of weight.
Because if it was 100 pounds, it would be 10%.
There's a lot of weight. But they could figure it out. You know what I'm saying? Like, you could risk that for that big of a payday.
Well, or Mighty Mouse has fought at that weight before. And if he just did it, if they gave him, like, 6 months.
Mm-hmm.
You give him 6 months so he can do some squats or deadlifts or whatever and put on some actual weight.
The issue is his Cruz, right? So Cruz has Uriah. Let's say he beats Uriah. If we go with the Vegas odds, he beats Uriah. But then he has TJ.
Well, I think TJ is going to go with Dodson. If I had a guess, like what the big set fight is at 135, rematch between TJ and Dotson, because that was the finals of The Ultimate Fighter.
100%.
And both guys are light years past where they were then. I would like to see how Dotson deals with the champion, TJ. I mean, because TJ lost a razor-close decision to Dominic, right? Agreed? Yeah. Very fucking close.
I actually had TJ winning.
Very fucking close fight. And, you know, Dominic Cruz is a master. I mean, he is just a master.
Straight master.
Watching him move and his footwork inside the octagon and the way he mixes things up, you're like, this fucking kid has been out essentially for 4 years, except for one fight. Nuts. Crazy.
And that one fight was like a minute something.
Yeah, and he just stormed Mitsugaki. Yeah. So you're watching this guy move around. I mean, this is a guy who hasn't performed under the pressure of the cameras for all this time, and he still puts on this masterful performance.
He has the best brain in MMA that I've ever been
around.
He's
a wizard.
As far as him talking. But I think, you got to keep TJ active. You got to keep Dominic active.
But Dotson and TJ is a monster fight.
It's a motherfucker,
fight.
For sure.
A monster
it's great.
Fight.
But for the guy who's going to be left out and fighting a no-namer Ultimate Fighter winner is TJ.
Yeah, that's weird.
What about DJ?
Is that definitely what's going to happen?
I'm almost positive.
We should always Google these things.
We should.
If we're arguing this fake point, let's find out if Mighty Mouse Johnson will one day fight the winner of the Ultimate
Maybe
Fighter.
I'm just full of MCT and I'm making shit up. But that'd be a weird thing to make up. Usually I'm right on this stuff. I feel like he does fight the next
challenger.
It was
vaguely familiar when you said it. Like, I vaguely was like, is that right?
I'm almost positive.
I believe you. We'll find out.
Yeah.
You got it? Is it, Jamie? Demetrius Johnson isn't scared of tough 24 winner's title shot. I just don't care. Wow.
So the winner gets that title shot.
Yeah, that seems crazy.
Like, I get it when you do that with girls because there's seven of them.
Yeah.
But with these guys, is there any way we can help DJ out anymore? You already fucked him on the Xbox deal. Is there any way we can do something with him?
Man. Yeah. Oh, I think he's making money off of Twitch. Is he making money from Twitch?
Oh, yeah, he does play video games on there.
Well, he's a legit gamer. Like,
super
that guy's,
gamer.
He's addicted to gaming. I just don't think he gets the credit he deserves. I tell every young fighter, you want to emulate someone? Emulate this guy.
You better be tiny, though.
Yeah, you got to be tiny, but you can emulate a version of it at 170. You could emulate a version of what he's doing at 170.
Yeah, but if freaking the keto kid here, 17 at 6'4", 210 pounds, you can't be like, watch Mighty Mouse. I'm like, no, ah, fuck.
You can't, but you can emulate a version of it like Rico Verhoeven. Rico Verhoeven is very technical, has incredible cardio, and he's a fantastic kickboxer, and he's a big motherfucker.
He's fighting MMA now.
Yes, he is.
Good luck
with that. Good luck with all that.
As far as fighting him.
Jesus Christ.
And he's trained at AKA.
Oh, fucking
Christ.
Who
the fuck's going to...
Well,
what?
the only problem
Small
with those
gloves?
Guys is in the beginning of their career, they're susceptible to punches during, like, takedown exchanges. Like, remember when Randleman knocked out Krokop? Woo! Because Krokop was looking for the shot.
True.
And Randleman came at him with the punch and just leapt at him.
Well, they can't unleash
him.
Their hands, and the gloves are so small. Like, you know, in kickboxing, you can get away with a little more or even glory, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, your boy Pat Schilling. Right, like he should be murking some of these dudes. But
Joe Schilling, you mean?
Joe Schilling, sorry. Yeah, Pat Schilling.
I was like, who's this Pat fella?
Yeah, but Joe Schilling, like his stand-up, some of the best in the world.
Yes.
You see him fight MMA, it's not this. He can't fight the same.
He's worried about the takedown.
Yes, and he's open to knockouts.
Yes.
So you'll see him get knocked out by a guy where you're like, dude, if there was no takedowns, he would fuck you up.
Yeah, 100%.
I feel like yelling at another crowd.
Yeah. Well, he's only doing that now, I think. He's going straight kickboxing now.
It's smart, man. Quit messing with MMA.
He's in his 30s, too.
You're in your 30s.
Yeah.
The game, and it's full of grapplers. No one's standing with your crazy ass.
Not only that, you might find yourself across the cage from some NCAA Division I national champion, and you are not stopping the takedown.
But he doesn't give a fuck about exciting fights. He will ride you for 15 minutes and love every minute of it.
Yeah, and
they
smash
don't care.
Your face with his elbows, and
the only problem
you won't
is
be able to get up.
I agree.
There's a big difference between standing up with someone where guys are used to slipping and moving and anticipating angles, and someone literally holding your fucking face down and force-feeding you elbows.
And your head has nowhere to go.
Doom.
Yeah. But also with Joe Schilling, it's more of like, I just don't see the payoff for it. But also, there's not a lot of money in kickboxing, what he's doing.
I'm hoping Bellator brings it up, because they have Bellator kickboxing now.
Yeah.
And UFC now has Glory.
Yeah.
So the UFC has
on
Glory.
Fight Pass, right?
Yeah, Fight Pass, they're carrying Glory. ESPN is also carrying Glory.
I saw that.
They're smart, man. It's a fucking awesome product. It's just right now people don't know about it.
You have to tell the guy's story. That's the problem. We need to be invested in these guys. Fucking Joe Schilling's story. It's great, man.
Yeah.
But we have to be invested and care about the guy fighting. Otherwise, it's just two guys kickboxing.
I think if someone like HBO got a hold of it, if they did it the way they do HBO boxing, if they had like a Simon Marcus versus Joe Schilling title fight, like two guys who have gone to war and have this crazy history behind them, where Marcus stopped him in one fight, and then Joe Schilling stopped Marcus in the fourth round of this insane fucking war. Were you there in L.A. for that fight?
I watched it. I was not there in person. Supposed to go with you, actually.
Fucking Moogly. When he uncorked that right hand and you see Simon Marcus go out, you're like, holy shit. And it was in the fourth round. When there's that moment when these guys have to fight three rounds, and if the fight is a draw, at the end of the third round, they go to a final, what do they call it?
Final elimination.
You don't call it sudden death.
No, you can't. That's tough.
That's rough.
That's especially with the current death.
So they go to this one more round, and in the one more round, you can see both guys.
They're
like,
exhausted.
Whoa, they're
like,
so fucking
fuck.
Tired. And Simon Marcus had spit his mouthpiece out a couple times, and he got a point taken away from him for it. And it was looking like Joe Schilling was going to probably win. So Simon Marcus is going after him. And Joe Schilling just uncorks this beautiful right hook that just completely shuts the light out on Simon.
Think if HBO got a hold of that and did a 24/7. Dude, they honey dick me more than anyone. If they do a 24/7, I will buy anything. I don't even know the two Mexican boxers. And I'm so invested.
Yeah.
I'm like, I can't wait. I cannot wait. They do a better job than anyone.
You could smell the tacos and hear the music and you feel the family.
I know. I want them to win.
They get good with those things, man.
They do it the best. No one does it better than them.
You know what else they do that's good that I like? When they do that thing where
the face-offs with Max Kellerman?
Yeah, with Max, where they sit across the table and they both talk about, like,
it's tough if they don't speak English, though, because there's a delay.
There's a little bit of delay.
Like with Canelo and Khan.
Yeah.
I was watching, like, well, okay. You can see his earpiece. It's a little tough.
How much English does Canelo know? He doesn't know anything.
Not very good, yeah. Very good.
Weird.
Yeah.
The money's over here, right? They all want to come over here for the money. I would think you would just learn a little bit of English.
It makes sense. Especially if you want to if you want to get big brands over here.
Those shows, though, like Showtime has those ones they did for Mayweather's fights. What do they call them? All Access?
Yeah,
those are big, man.
They're good, but they're just not the same, is it, as the original 24/7s. Nothing can fuck with a 24/7.
UFC's done some pretty goddamn good ones.
Embedded, they're good.
Yeah.
They're good.
The one when Cowboy fought Rafael Dos Anjos?
Yeah, they're great. Or the Ronda one. They're good. I'm with you, man. You're batshit crazy. You think it's better than HBO 24/7. Where do you think they got the idea? And that guy's voice, Lee Shriver,
yeah.
Yeah. Let's steal that guy and bring him to the UFC.
Yeah, who do they use for the UFC voice?
I don't know.
Yeah, that Liev Schreiber guy is weird because you don't recognize that it's his voice. Because his voice is somewhat indistinctive in some weird way.
Yeah.
You know, like Liam Neeson. If Liam Neeson was doing a voiceover for something, you would know it's Liam Neeson. And that would kind of be distracting.
I agree.
But with Liev Schreiber, he's like, oh, this guy's smooth as fuck.
I mean, like, God damn.
That's it. That's all you get out of it.
I would do anything for that guy. I don't even know him. I'd do anything for him.
Yeah, that's all you get out of it is he's smooth.
Yeah, I mean, UFC could get someone else. Well, even like a Morgan Freeman would be sick.
Well, that brings up the thing that's going on this week with Conor McGregor. We got caught off guard last episode. Jamie and I were talking, just out of nowhere, it was just breaking news. And Jamie brought it up that Conor announced his retirement. And I said, I thought he was trolling.
You and I had the exact same reaction. Yeah.
I was like, he's trolling. He's fucking
around. No, look at this. It's all weird. He'd be more eloquent than that. He would have put it out better than that. But.
And then the news started coming out. And I also started thinking, well, maybe something happened in training, or maybe it was because of that guy that died recently. And people were saying, you know, they were shocked that I didn't know the full details on the guy's death. Honestly, with things like this, like, you know it's going to happen, and it's unavoidable. There's a certain amount of risk involved in any extreme sport.
Plus, that's the exception.
Yeah.
Like, it's going to happen. That's the exception.
It's like
being mad at peanut butter when someone dies. It's like, I'm still going to eat peanut, you know?
It is the exception, but I was waiting for all the details to come out. I don't think they've done an autopsy yet. They don't think they know exactly what happened to them.
No, I don't either. I, 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 and I don't... I didn't think that with Connor. And I don't know if this is, I don't think it's sharing too much information. When Connor and I had lunch together, I just talked to him, and he kept bringing up, it was a reoccurring theme when we were talking, he goes, the media, man, like for this, it's such a beast.
Yeah.
He's like I've done interviews before, but, you know, it's different. Like, he's not a guy where when any other fighter sit down and do an interview, they're really not selling the fight. They're talking about their camp, and they're doing the same thing over and over. Mm-hmm. Connor's a fucking master that we've never seen do it before. So he's coming up with original content nonstop. He's on, you mm-hmm. know, like when he came on our podcast, he did the whole car wash. He was exhausted. Mm-hmm. And then we came down, you could tell him he was thinking and just started spitting out gold. He's just a beast, man. So to have that guy fly around the world and do all this shit, I mean, at the end of the day, we got to remember, this is a sport. This is not the WWE. So to keep putting on the spectacle like it's similar to WWE, at some point, you got to say, man, what these guys do is, it's a real, real, we're in the hurt business. He has to focus, man. And I just feel like, I think Connor's to blame too. Dana's to blame. I think both of them just need to talk. Because if Connor before is bad planning him, bad planning on Dana, if he just went, dude, listen, I've sold this fight more than anyone, man. This is nuts. I have to. If I lose this next fight, I'm screwed.
The problem is, it sets a precedent now. If I'm looking at it from as a businessman, if I was a businessman, let's pretend.
Okay.
I would say this sets a precedent. You can't let someone decide what press they do and what press they don't do. Like, you have an obligation to fulfill certain responsibilities, like with the media.
For sure. Like create hype.
But the question is, like, when do those responsibilities move into like a purely digital realm? And when do those responsibilities only in showing up places physically, old school, retro, going places? Because like, there's nothing wrong with the occasional press conference, right?
No.
But also, you could accomplish way more with a few fucking viral videos than you ever could going to some weird interview, dude, with two people that aren't MMA fans. And I think he made a really good point about that, doing this fucking, these morning shows that they make them go do, where, you know, nobody knows who the guy is or the girl.
No,
they don't give
a
shit
they
about MMA.
Clicks.
Yeah, they don't want to talk to him the way you want to talk to him or I want to talk to him. You know, when I'm talking to Connor, like, before a fight, I'm trying to find out what's going on in the head of a guy who's going to engage in one of the most exciting things that I'm going to see all year.
No, you're not going on a morning show going, how about that cauliflower, huh? Yeah. How'd you get that? Shut the fuck up. But
the
also,
girls like that.
Oh, I know. But Connor's a guy where he's crossed over into pop culture. He's such a big star now. A tweet from him will hype the fight. I guarantee if Connor and Dana had a conversation and Dana was like, all right, man, I understand this is a big fight. Because you got to remember, if you were to lose this one, now you're losing your golden boy, the biggest star by far.
I also feel like if
he could just focus, let's just let him focus a little bit.
Well, I also feel like the magnitude of this, the dilemma that's in front of him in Nate Diaz is also very apparent. This is not a guy you can half-ass. And even if you are 100% ready, you've never even fought him at 100%.
No.
You fought him when he had 11 days notice when he'd been drinking in Mexico. I mean, he posted
it's a terrible
photos.
Matchup, man. And then you want to fly him on a plane. Did anyone think, man, all right, if you're looking at
but we're 3 months away, though.
Okay, but still, Connor's exhausted, man, from doing all this stuff. And also, you know, I see some fighters go, it's our obligation to do these press conferences. Slow your roll, homie. You're not Connor McGregor press conference. It's a big difference. And,
right.
And a loss to him, you're talking millions. And the UFC, if I'm looking as a businessman, I go, all right, man. He's going to do a press conference, but we're going to come to him. Did anyone think to do that?
Well, first of all, Connor is one of the most charismatic guys, seriously, of all time, in all of sports. No doubt about it. I mean, he is a fucking marketing machine. Like, just the quotes and his style.
Joe,
and
his
the way,
tweet,
his flair.
I don't mean to interrupt you, but his tweet is the biggest tweet by an athlete this year.
Yeah.
Beat Kobe Bryant's retirement tweet. And you want him to go do a fucking interview for ESPN while they don't know the sport? Oh, I watch ESPN every morning. They were talking about LeBron James, the playoff game tonight. They interrupted this shit with breaking news to talk about Connor's not retiring. That's how big he is. Now, the PR team at UFC could not get this. They could not get this sort of attention, even if they want to. Connor can. It's a different age, man. Those old interviews, that old press conference, you have a legit fucking superstar, man, who makes more money than anyone. The highest gates.
Totally forgot what I was going to say. I had a serious point.
Sorry, brother.
It's okay.
Sometimes I just go.
No, well, you have all good points, all valid points.
And I get there's contracts, I get stuff like that, but there has to be where you can't have a pissing contest. You can't say, well, we're going to run it like a business this time and then not this time because it's good for the company. With Conor McGregor and this big of a fight, if he wins this, dude, you know how much more money you're going to make? Not the fucking press conference.
Well, you're absolutely right that he's one of the most charismatic guys of all time. But Nate Diaz right now is goddamn gigantic. And I think we're going to realize. Well, he's not as big as Conor.
Not even close.
But he's goddamn gigantic. He's huge. And
see what happens if Conor doesn't fight.
That's part of that fight. Part of that fight is that Conor is also fighting another mercurial superstar character.
I agree.
Especially now after the first fight.
I agree, Joe. But let's say Conor doesn't fight at UFC 200. And let's say Nate fights Woodley or Robbie Lawler. Let me know how his ratings go. Let me know if you even break.
He's not going to fight at 170, I don't
think. Well, all right, let's say at 155. Let's say he fights Dos Anjos. Let me know how those ratings go.
Here's where it won't be as close.
Oh,
we
wouldn't even be a quarter of it.
I wonder.
It'd be close. Maybe half.
Well, half makes sense, though.
Maybe half.
Half makes sense, but half would still be pretty spectacular.
You know what? Not even half. I'm being generous. And I love Nate
Diaz. He's the biggest. There's no doubt about it. He's the biggest. Yeah, well, who knows? It's all speculation, but here's what's interesting. They offered the fight, apparently, to Nurmagomedov, but he can't take it because it's only 4 days after Ramadan.
Fuck.
Yeah, so he's very religious, so he does that whole fasting. I had a buddy of mine, my friend Khan Kalaly from back in Boston. He used to do that shit.
Damn, he turned out a title training fight.
He would do that. He would fast when he was training. It was crazy. You have certain rules where you're not allowed to eat anything. How's it go? You're not allowed to eat anything or drink anything?
Sun up, sun down, right?
Yeah. Sun up, sun down.
I have buddies who do it. Yeah, and you can't, there's no food or water.
That's
sun up,
crazy.
Sun down. And then at like 6 p.m. they have this feast.
Yeah, but it can weaken you. And so Habib said it would have it'd be a real problem if you had to fight 4 or 5 rounds.
And I get it. And I would love to see that fight. Habib Nurmagomedov versus Nate Diaz.
Nurmagomedov.
He's such a beast, right? He's phenomenal.
Yeah.
To us who are balls deep in the UFC world.
Yes. No, you're right.
ESPN ain't covering that fight.
Dude, you should start a promotion. Look at you. You're a goddamn promoter. You know how to do this.
I'm not. I've been through it, and when I see a guy like Conor who comes in once in a lifetime, if you think there's going to be another Conor McGregor, you're batshit crazy. I think when we invest in, it's the UFC, they keep going. I think you're crazy. I think Conor's a special dude, and I think there's a few other. I think Brock Lesnar was. I think Ronda's. There's very few players.
Is it possible that this is a calculated gamble based on not thinking he has enough time to prepare for Nate?
No, I don't think so.
Impossible.
Impossible.
So this is just a matter of digging your heels into the ground and saying there's no way I can do this much press.
100%. I think he's just like, dude, I'm exhausted. You want me on this world tour? Can I please get ready for this? Mm. It's not the WWE, man. Go ask a major superstar, LeBron, and I know you think it's not the same, but LeBron, any of these guys, these superstars in sports, Ronaldo, go on these world tours, not get paid, sell the fight when they're like, wait, but my social media will cover way more than this. Go fuck yourself. But we have no one fighting. Like, he can't say anything. Mm. You say anything, look, he got pulled from the card.
So more is not better. There's a certain amount. There's a certain amount you do.
At a certain amount, you're doing it for the UFC. You're not doing it for the Conor McGregor brand. You're not doing it for the fighters brand. Mm. You think by him going to ESPN, he's going to get, what, more followers?
But do you think that there's a certain consideration that, like, it looks good to have fighters show up on, like, ESPN?
He's been there. He's on Breaking News. He's been doing it. Maybe the week before do it. But when he wants to prepare for a camp and you have a guy of his magnitude coming off a loss and he's like, man, I really think doing all this press and all this stuff has fucked with my capabilities to be a fighter. I need to get back to that. Will you please let me focus?
Makes sense.
And I've already hyped the fight.
It totally makes
sense. You can't have exceptions. No, motherfucker, you can, because you do make exceptions.
Well, here's the thing.
Because you have certain people in the UFC roster where they can't, you know what I'm saying, where they pick and choose when they fight or who they fight. There are exceptions.
Right. And here's another thing to take into consideration. One of the most important things that any athlete does while they're in training is get proper rest. It's one of the most important things. And what fucks up when you go traveling all the time? Your rest. It's the number one thing that wrecks you.
You know, I mean, think how much you travel.
Dude, I just flew in from Seattle this morning.
It's nuts.
I got up at 5 this morning, flew here, got right off the plane and drove right in here. Yeah, that's what happens, man. Your body gets, your immune system gets jacked from that. It's not good.
I just think I think this is great for the sport. It's a good discussion to have because now future superstars will say, all right, I'm only doing this many interviews this much before the fight.
Well, maybe
doing all this ain't going to happen.
Maybe there's a debate. Maybe the debate could be held as to, like, what's the amount that you need to do, what's the amount that you should do. You know, like what? How do you have it set up, and what would be the best way for the performance of the athlete, the consideration of their time and focus to put 100% effort into something, not leave anything on the table because they really weren't rested enough because they were or distracted too much because they were doing too much press.
But who's it help in the end? The UFC and Dana White.
Like, well, it helps the pay-per-view. If they have pay-per-view buys and they get a percentage of the buys, it
helps
increases
everyone.
Pay-per-view buys.
It helps everyone. But,
right. But if the fighter, I mean, there should be there's a direct, if a fighter has a percentage of pay-per-view, which a guy like Conor does,
yes,
the more pay-per-view deals, or maybe he does it, a title fight, we don't know what his deal is. So I'm talking
about
my
ass. He gets pay-per-view
ass.
Buys for sure.
I would assume.
No matter what.
I would assume.
Yes.
But so the more press he does, the more things get sold, the more money he makes. But in his point of view, like tweets and things that he's doing right now are getting more attention to it than any of these stupid interviews.
You couldn't pay for this kind of publicity.
And you can't argue with that. That's absolutely true. But the question is, like, where, you know, there should be like a contract. And the contract should state from X to Y, you know, pick a date and time. I would be left alone. Mm-hmm. If USADA wants to get me, I'll be up in Iceland, freezing my dick off, throwing sidekicks. Mm-hmm. Come get me.
I think this whole thing is a miscommunication. I see Dana's side and I see Conor's side, right? As a fighter, I definitely see Conor's side. I think it's just a miscommunication. I think if before all this came out, if Conor was like, listen, man, I can't be doing all this fucking press.
I guarantee you if Dana was sitting right there, it would be no miscommunication. I don't think he would agree that it was a miscommunication. I think he would say that Conor just doesn't want to do the press.
And I think he would say you
got to do the press.
And to me, that's a miscommunication.
But I don't think it's a miscommunication. It's a disagreement.
No, I disagree because I disagree. And this is why, Joe, because I think after even though he fought Aldo, he expressed, dude, I need to chill out in these interviews. He beats Nate Diaz, or he loses Nate Diaz. Again, he's like, dude, this fucking press is killing me. So he's been voicing it. And
right.
I don't know if his camp has had the discussion with Dana, but at some point.
Maybe they haven't. We don't know.
Maybe they have.
Total
haven't.
Speculation. We would
Again,
say that they would have to sit down and come up with a schedule. Like,
yes.
You got to leave me alone for 8 weeks.
But what if Dana and Conor had a conversation right now, man to man, and Conor goes, listen, what I'll do, I'll film videos every day. I'll do this after my practices. I'll put all this social media out for you guys to create this fight. No one has the pull that I do.
Right.
And I can create this many views for you, millions and millions. No other fighter can. Don't pay me for it. Just don't make me travel. You don't think Dana and the UFC would agree to any of this? I bet they'd be open to it.
You know, it's interesting. Kevin Hart, he was like one of the biggest stars in the world. One of the biggest comedians ever as far as like sales and volume. Like no one even close. I mean, he crushes it. He sells out like, what did he sell? Like 50,000 plus seats?
Soldier Field. It's nuts.
Anyway, that's not important. What's important is he's like gigantic on social media. Super active, and he does it all himself. So if he does a movie, like he'll do a movie, and they'll say, oh, great, and you can use your, you know, 5.8 million social media followers, and it'll boost up the movie. And it's like, whoa. That's mine. No, if you want that, then we got to talk about that.
He's the first guy I've heard
like,
doing that, too.
Dude, all the people that were in those movie meetings must have been like, oh, shit.
Because then The Rock goes, huh?
Yeah, because there's a giant difference between a guy like The Rock, like what he can do to sell a movie with social media, and the average person, the average actor. I mean, he's constantly on it. He has a dedicated, loyal fan base because he's really funny and self-deprecating.
I follow his ass.
Works hard. So he's showing pictures of his alarm clock. It says like 4:15 in the morning. Mm-hmm. He's up there fucking doing deadlifts. He's an animal, right? So a guy like that, that's a business on the side. That's his, like, he's got a hype business as well as a business to promote himself, but he can also hype things. You know, he's
Products,
a promotion.
Whatever he wants. He can make money off that.
Like
which
Kevin
he is.
Hart, when he does that, I'm sure he's got it worked. He was talking about it.
100%.
He's got it worked into movies now. So it's like, oh, if you want a part of the Kevin Hart money machine that I put together, well, you got to give me something, bitch.
Why should Conor be any
something.
Different?
You're right. You're right in that respect.
As a superstar. Now, not every fighter can pull that card. You legitimately have to be able to sell out giant stadiums and be a superstar.
Yeah, and he certainly can, especially if you give him the right matchups. You know, if you give Conor the right matchup at 145, like, I think, honestly, I mean, I'm excited about this Nate Diaz fight because I like watching them fight. I like watching Nate Diaz
love
fight.
Nate.
I
love the attention he's getting.
But if I was in Conor's camp, I mean, I understand that he's obsessed and he wants to get right back at it. I would say, go fight Frankie Edgar. Go fight Max Holloway. Mm-hmm. Have a rematch with Max Holloway. That shit would be epic.
I agree.
If Aldo, whoever Aldo does, you know, they mix it all up, fight a rematch with Aldo. Mm-hmm. Aldo's been talking mad shit about him. Mm-hmm. You know, I think Aldo genuinely believes that he fucked up, and if he gets a hold of this dude this time, he can punish him.
Which is awesome fight and awesome story.
I want to see it. I want to see
Conor's it. Conor's camp thinks those fights are still going to be there if he loses Nate Diaz. I think it takes a lot of the star power away.
A lot of the star power already got taken away.
It's too much of a risk. It's way too much of a risk.
The star power got taken away in that second fight. Not 100%.
Not 100%. He's still the biggest draw.
But he was an assassin before that fight.
Untouchable. Floyd Mayweather-esque.
There was something going on. Like, when he flatlined Aldo with one punch and then did it like it was nothing and smiled, and I was talking to him in the interview, and he's just saying, hey, you know, no power,
like it.
No power. Just put it right where it's been.
Never seen anything like it.
Yeah, I mean, the way he gobbled up the pressure and the way he controlled the shit-talking.
This is the thing, Joe. We've never had a guy of his capabilities and his mass appeal go, man, I don't want to do this. Like, everyone else is jumping through these hoops. I want to fucking train, man. This is ridiculous. I'm already big enough. We've never had a guy really do this. He's also a guy where I think if he wanted to, if he was involved with the UFC, let's say Dana, which would never happen, goes, go do what the fuck you want. I'm sick. You go do what you want. He could sell out a giant arena in Dublin against Dada 5000 every Saturday. That's how powerful he is. That's what I think. Literally make and just make more and more money.
Well, I don't know about that, because I think part of the excitement about him was building up to that Aldo fight. That was part of the man who would be king story, was that he was going to fight the longtime king. And when he flatlined the longtime king, he reached this level of legendary popularity that it happens once in 100 generations when it comes with fighters.
Correct.
There's this moment, this boom. How many guys reached that moment? Like, when he flatlined Aldo with one punch, and then it was 13 seconds, and the whole world was like, he fucking did it.
The answer is
none. He fucking did it.
Yes, it's fucking crazy.
Yeah, that was epic. But the luster gets taken off by the Nate Diaz fight. And if he loses to Nate Diaz, he's got a very good point that, you know, he can't lose because he wasn't given the right amount of opportunity to present or to prepare himself, because he had to do all this press shit.
Like, right now, the Conor McGregor fan base and guys hugging his nuts, which I might be one of them, but he, you know, they're going, well, you know, Nate Diaz is way bigger, and mm-hmm. he kind of caught him off guard. Well, all that good, and there's a little asterisk, I guess, if you're this Conor guy. Well, now, if he loses again, there's no more excuses. We're kind of fucked.
There's no asterisk. Nate had 11
days. I'm not saying there is. Nate straight up beat him with 11 days preparing, sipping Coronas on a boat, and came and whipped his ass.
I thought Nate was going to beat him just by, first of all, the size and length and deceptive boxing skills. That's what I thought. This is going to be the first guy that Conor's ever fought that's been in wars with, like, legends. I mean, he's been in there with a lot of fucking super high-level dudes.
He's a monster, man.
He's a monster. I'm like, this is a big, big fight, and this is not a fight you want to take, even if he's not ready on 11 days' notice. You got to get ready for this dude. And his jiu-jitsu's off the chain, man. His jiu-jitsu is at a super high level.
And he's a chin. And he's bigger than Conor. There couldn't be a worse matchup right now.
He spars with Andre Ward, world champion, and Joe Schilling on a regular basis.
I know, man.
And his brother, Nick.
I know. Gilbert Melendez, Jake Shields.
No joke. No joke. Dangerous fucking fight, man.
It's horrible. It stresses me out.
It's a fucking dangerous fight.
You know, but the guy who we're not talking about in all this is Nate Diaz. Because even though if Nate Diaz, and you guys can say whatever you want, UFC 200 is still going to be dope. I get that. That's all fun and dandy for the absolute fans. If there's no Conor, Nate doesn't make the same payday.
You're right.
So he gets fucked, man.
You're right.
And I want to see a guy like the dues that Nate has paid. Mm-hmm. And remember, the Diaz brothers were the first guys to go, nah, fuck that, man. I don't think it should be done that way. And you got to appreciate that, mm-hmm. man. In a land full of fucking sheep, they were the first kind of wolves to go, no, fuck that, man. This ain't right.
Well, they're also the first guys to put a ridiculous emphasis on extreme cardio.
Yes. And it shows in their style.
Yeah, I mean, like, Nick doing marathons and triathlons, and it's funny, I keep quoting this, and Nick corrected me the other day. I said that he swam back from Alcatraz twice. He just corrected me the other day. He goes, five times now.
It's fucking nuts.
Five times. He swam from Alcatraz to the fucking mainland. They didn't think you could do that. They didn't think it was possible. That's why they put a prison there. because they didn't think people could swim. Well, this motherfucker is a stoner and an athlete. He's not even a prisoner.
Don't lock that dude up. I'm going to swim right the fuck out. If you have a bunch of guys like him in prison. But
how crazy are people these days? Dude, they're doing things for recreation.
Oh, my God. The only guy who could bring Nate Diaz money is George St. Pierre.
George St. Pierre. Yeah,
now,
I agree.
I think we might be getting honey-dicked if George St. Pierre does happen to show up at UFC 200. It's like, wait a second.
Well, George has openly said that he wants to go through a camp and decide whether or not he could do it at the end of it.
He's done it.
Did he go through the prep camp?
That's what I heard.
When did you hear this? You got the inside scoop, dog.
I mean, I know he's been training a shitload. And I know he doesn't care about belts or anything. He just wants to take the fight. You know what the holdup is?
What?
Reebok.
That's awful. Oh.
Well, you're George St. Pierre, sponsored by Under Armour. And then how many fights do you have? And Reebok's going to be like, yeah, here's whatever, 50 grand, wear these Reebok pumps. He's like, what the fuck? No, man, I'm George St. Pierre. So he's saying either the UFC has to make up for it in his purse or Reebok has to make up for it. So I think it's a money thing right now.
Really? That's what you hear? Is this an inside scoop?
I don't know, man.
I think we just scooped the shit out of this story.
I don't know. That's what I hear.
Well, I had been hearing rumblings of negotiations. But, you know, it's one of those things you don't want to hope. You want to just wait. But also,
He's the only guy who can save the card.
Well, he would most certainly save the card. Oh, my God. You know what would be crazy? Would be him and Connor.
I mean, that's fucking nuts. Him and Connor at Madison Square Garden?
There's not enough seats there.
No. They'd be full of just fucking...
GSP versus
Connor. It'd look like the Oscars. It'd just be this crowd full of celebrities. Regular folk can afford the tickets.
Especially if you get angry GSP. GSP that wanted to punish BJ Penn, GSP?
I think it's going to be tough to bring him out, but yeah.
Didn't like the disrespect.
You talking about Rush?
Yeah.
Yeah, man. Yeah. He was a motherfucker.
Oh, GSP was one of the weirder guys because he was such a nice guy at all times. But when guys fucked with him, there was this switch that would go off in that head, and he would go on seek and destroy mode. And he was so good at it, man. When he fucked up BJ,
punished.
He fucked up Fitch. You watch those fights, and you just go, that is arguably the greatest welterweight of all time.
I agree.
I mean, his ability to mix up the strikes and the takedowns, we never knew what the fuck was going on. His constant victories and the scrambles, you know, and the BJ fight too, where he was punishing BJ. He wanted to punish him. And when he beat him down and didn't stop him and then walked over to the wall and fucking punched it afterwards.
That's the motherfucker that we need. Yeah. Now, does he come back or do we get that safe GSP? Because a safe GSP versus Connor, I'm not trying to see that.
There's a long time gone. Who knows? Who knows?
Isn't it weird? We're talking about GSP and BJ. I mean, BJ Penn's coming back too.
Yeah. Well, I'm excited to see what that looks like. BJ's fighting Dennis Seaver, and he's been at Jackson Winklejohn's camp for quite a while now.
Yeah, man.
So I'm assuming they're not letting him cut any corners.
Oh, no.
They're really running him through the real paces.
Yeah. If you're at Jackson's, there's no cutting corners. If you do, you're just getting your ass mollywopped in there. You wouldn't be there that long.
Right.
You get back on a plane and go home.
And why would he? I mean, he's been living out there for quite a while now.
From Hawaii to Albuquerque? Yeah. Geez, he better be pretty legit.
GSP negotiating UFC return, but Reebok deal considered as roadblock. Yeah, there's a story.
Hmm.
Yeah, man, I don't know. Just this whole thing bums me out.
It's complicated.
Yeah, we'll see. We'll see what happens. But man, that would be the 200 to end it.
I think you save him for Madison Square Garden. Fuck 200.
Do you think that would be Nate versus GSP if Connor doesn't do the card? So Connor's not on the card anymore. He's off.
Well, today he said, I'm down to fight. He even goes, I will fly to New York and do a press conference, but then I got to go back. So he's given a little wiggle room. I think it's time to drop the egos, come to an agreement, and save 200 and let Connor fight Nate.
Wait a minute. Is Brendan Schaub the reasonable one? How is this possible?
Weird.
Dude, how is this possible?
This fucking ketogenic diet.
The keto kid. He's super positive.
Super clear-minded. Friendly. I like everyone.
All right.
Sent Dana a text?
Yeah, man. It'd be interesting. It'd be interesting. We'll see if he can work it out.
I hope so, man.
We'll see. He's a fun guy, man.
It's made it fun, though.
Stylistically,
you can't pay for this publicity.
Stylistically, that's
nightmare.
Not a good fight for him.
I'm nervous for him.
It's not a good fight for him.
And I'm happy for Nate. Like, I like both guys. I'm happy for Nate. He's finally getting the credit he deserves. He's coming out of his brother's shadow. Like, we want this, man.
To be announced, to be determined. That is the big fight.
See, that rest of the card, don't get me wrong. There's some phenomenal. Are you kidding me? Phenomenal fights.
It's an amazing card. Look at this. Look what's on the card here. First of all, Aldo versus Edgar. I can't wait for that. I can't wait for that. I want to see what Frankie can do now, the new and improved Frankie.
Me too.
And then Aldo, I feel like, has declined a little bit. I think the Chad Mendes fight, the second fight, he didn't look as good as he had looked in the past, and then obviously he's coming off of a big loss.
That's my favorite fight of all time.
It's a great fight. And Tate versus Nunes, come on, son.
It's Jesus not a needle Christ. Mover, but yeah, it's a fun one.
It's a needle mover in my mind. My needle's moving right now.
my needle always moves for Tate.
In my mind.
In my That's what we're talking about, bro.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, so that's a good fight. That's a very good fight. Nunes is super dangerous, especially in the early rounds.
Hell yeah.
She tends to tire a little bit. She tends to tire a little bit. She blows it out. But goddamn, she's got some pop. She's got a serious right hand. Real dangerous Muay Thai. Then you got Travis versus Cain.
That's a motherfucker of a fight. For heavyweight, I mean, that's a motherfucker.
Damn, that's interesting.
The thing to me with Cain, it's like, at what point do all these injuries and him coming back, at what point do we see him age? Yeah. Like we've seen Rashad, right, come back from injuries. Rashad doesn't look the same. There's sometimes when guys come back, you're like, ah, fuck, that's not the same guy anymore. At what point do we see Cain not come back?
It's true.
But Cain's a motherfucker. If he does come back, good luck. Yeah. But again, stylistic-wise, Travis Brown's a motherfucker for him. Great takedown defense. Obviously great at striking, and he's huge.
He's a big boy. He's a big
explosive
boy.
Explosive, too.
Very fast. Very good striking. Long, wide base. Good footwork and movement. Hits hard. That's a good fight. It's a real good fight.
I didn't think he looked great in the Mitrione fight.
No, that wasn't the best fight for him. But neither was the Arlovski fight. That was a more disappointing fight, I think,
for him. Well, he got knocked out.
Yeah.
But it was also the Travis Brown one.
It went down.
Well, even in the Mitrione one, because we saw him for longer rounds, I was like, nah, yeah, not crazy. And then you get a guy like Cain, man. You're talking about a different motherfucker.
The Travis Brown-Mitrione fight was just so unfortunate because of the eye pokes.
I agree.
It's so fucking
unfortunate. Matt was doing well in the first round, then we got poked in the eye. It was a little tough.
It was bad, man. I mean, his eye was horrific.
Oh, the way
after
they handled
the
that whole thing fucked Matt.
Yeah. Well, he's got a lawsuit, doesn't he?
Didn't he fire a suit?
And he should.
But again, that's a tough. I don't know how that fight even goes down if they go three rounds. I'm not saying Matt would have won that. Travis definitely won the fight.
No, it was a great fight up until that moment. But whenever a guy gets poked in the eye, like, the outcome is marred.
Oh, when you're fighting a monster with one eye, it's going to be a tough fucking night.
Yeah.
But I tell you what, I don't mind Travis's shot here against Cain. I don't think he's that big of an underdog. And if he is, I don't know what the odds are, but, I mean, Travis has that one-punch knockout power in knees.
Yeah, we really don't know how much, like you said, of a toll all these injuries have taken on Cain and the time off. I mean, we only saw him in that one fight with Verdum where we blamed it, and he did as well, on the lack of training at altitude, which makes sense.
Look at my face right now.
You don't buy it?
Fuck no. That's how you're dicking at its finest. You don't get to his level and be like, altitude. I got tired because of altitude. Bitch, you knew for 4 months you're going to be fighting at that altitude.
But he's
you're
always a world been known champion. For his cardio. Maybe he just overestimated his own cardio. Is that possible?
You don't think anyone in his camp was like, man, that's pretty high up there. We should probably go early.
Well, Javier said that it was his fault. He said, I should have forced him to go early. You know, sometimes guys just don't want to leave.
I think
you
just got beat by a better guy, man.
Could be that too.
I don't
buy
that shit.
Could be that too. He definitely looked tired.
I mean, but he's one of the greatest of all time.
100%.
Just had an off night.
Well, Verdum is a big dude. He's tall and long, and his striking has come a long way, and his jiu-jitsu is the best in the business.
He's also the worst matchup for Cain, I think. Stylistic-wise, he's a bad matchup.
You take him down, you're going to get strangled.
Good luck with that. Yeah. And he's also not going to knock him out, so you got to force it. And Verdum can jump to guard, jump half guard. It's a horrible matchup for him. So, yeah, he lost. Who cares?
Yeah, I'm really bummed out that we didn't get a chance to see the rematch. I really wanted to see that rematch.
You're going
to
see it after this.
Maybe.
It's a huge maybe.
And you know what, man?
When I saw that fight, I went, tough fight for Cain.
And Stipe is a tough fight for anybody, man. Stipe is going to fight Verdum. That's a tough fight for Verdum. Stipe's no fucking joke, man.
He's no joke. The odds are stacked against him flying down to Brazil and fighting Verdum.
Yeah, the odds are stacked
against
him.
That's a tough place to fight.
But he's a geared up dude. He's ready to rock. And, you know, coming off of that big one-punch knockout of Overeem or of Arlovski, he looked good in that fight.
He looked great.
He looked good and he looked angry.
I'm a Stipe fan.
He's got momentum behind him.
Good dude,
I'm looking forward to seeing him. And he will go to war. We saw that in that five-round fight with Dos Santos.
With JDS.
I mean, he took Junior Dos Santos to the edge. That was a fun fight. That was a wild-ass fight.
It's a great fight. Could have went either way.
It could have went either way. So I think that he's right up there, and I think that's a really interesting fight. I'm looking forward to seeing that. But put up that card again, because there was some other shit that we wanted to talk about. Look at this one. Musasi and Brunson. People didn't bring that up.
Your boy Hendricks needs a win so bad. God dog.
Yeah, he does, man. And that's a tough fight, too, man. Kelvin is going to be coming at him, guns blazing.
Because he lost to Magny last fight.
And then also Hendricks getting stopped by Wonderboy is going to charge Kelvin up.
True. I mean, Kelvin's great fights,
fleet,
man.
Too, man. He's very fleet of foot, you know? He's got excellent footwork.
And it's real, a tough matchup, man. If fucking Johnny comes with his A game, it's a rough night for Kelvin, I think.
Yeah, well, it could be. Or who knows, man? Kelvin could realize that he's got to bring it up to 10 constantly in camp and reach his full potential, and that this is an opportunity to really erase the Magny fight and to get a victory over a former world champion. I mean, that's gigantic. Then look at this. You got Diego Sanchez and Joe Lozon.
Got that throwback, son. We call that Throwback Thursday matchup.
This is the better fucking clean the canvas special.
I agree.
Going to be some blood in this fight. Some
it's
chaos.
It's early, too, so all those other guys are going to have to walk around that blood. I used to hate that when there's a bloody fight before and there'd be blood on the mat. And, you know, when you first get in, you take that flap around the octagon. I'm like, God damn it.
Well, you know what they do during the Fox fights? They spray paint over the blood.
Tight move, like
dude,
gray.
It's gross. We're sitting there doing the commentary and talking about some stuff, and they're spraying like full bore paint booth, like doing a Chevelle 10 feet from us. I'm not exaggerating.
That's like that blood sport when there's blood. He's like scraping the mat, and then the next guy comes out.
Dude, they spray paint it. They walk around and spray paint over the blood. And you're like, are you fucking shitting me? And everybody, like the camera guys are covering their faces with shirts and walking
away. I feel like there has to be a better solution.
Well, it's probably illegal.
100%.
Like, you have to have masks on and stuff, man. For that shit. You can't just blow it into
secondhand
the crowd.
Fucking
there's 15,000 people sitting in the audience. They're like, well, what's really important is we deny what we're involved with.
That is
weird. Let's do a little spray paint on this blood. We don't want to see any blood. Blood's inside of everybody. We need blood to stay alive.
That
and sometimes
weird.
It's a bloody business, but we don't want to look at it.
That is weird.
Yeah, they're like airbrushing nipples over there. Stop it. Stop it.
Did you say that's only on Fox or on pay-per-view, or it happens all the time?
Oh, it's only on Fox.
It's only on Fox.
Yeah, well, they would never do it on pay-per-view. The UFC knows exactly what it's selling.
For sure.
Yeah, they're not scared of some blood.
It. Matter of fact, some people like it.
Fox shouldn't be scared of it either, man.
The
sport
in bed
is fantastic.
With fighting. Yeah, blood's going to happen.
You got in bed with the most exciting sport in the fucking world.
It's happened.
There's a little bit of blood. Don't worry about it. And during Fox fights, I'm not supposed to talk about blood as much. I'm supposed to take it down a notch. I was supposed to not imagine.
I feel like they fucked up telling you that. See, there's a little thing in me that goes, yeah, like, do the blood, fucking go.
Well, there's no need to exaggerate it, and there's no need to dwell on it, but if it's overwhelming.
What if there's a cut on the guy's eye, and you're like, that blood's fucking crazy?
Well, the descriptives that I, this is what I believe, the descriptives that I use during a fight have to match how I feel about the moment. That gives me... I'm giving a better narrative of what I think is going on in the fight. When I see Diego Sanchez's face hanging off of his head as he's chasing after Martin Campman, and I say, this looks like a scene from a horror movie. That's because that's what it really feels like to me. And if I don't say that, it's probably not, I'm not doing my job as well.
You're doing the fans a disservice. You're also not, I mean, that's why we love listening to Joe Rogan. If you start...
But you can't
fucking
do it on Fox.
Honey dicking.
Fox doesn't want that.
No, you're going to do it.
Fox doesn't
no,
want
you're
going to
do it.
I'm going to wear a condom. I have to wear a condom. This is Fox. Yeah. Everybody's.
Joe, we need you in a tuxedo and a condom.
have we worn our Fox condom?
It's fucking hilarious.
Hey, look, and it's not anti-Fox. I'd love that they have the UFC on. I think it's amazing.
Oh, it's great for the sport.
I just think you got to stop spray painting me. Stop
yeah,
making me
paint,
breathe
Joe.
That shit
yeah,
in.
Come
and
on,
the
Doug.
Poor camera guy's 5 feet in front of me.
He's taking that shit.
He's taking it right in the face.
He has to.
Yeah, man.
I see the lawsuits coming.
No, why would the lawsuits come?
Well,
nobody
in 10
died,
years if someone's fucking...
Prove it.
Prove
Listen,
it.
Just don't
prove
do it,
it
anymore. Just don't do it anymore.
Do it like they did in elementary. You remember when a kid threw up and then that weird janitor came with that orange substance?
Yeah.
It was like, whatever.
Well, I guarantee
it smelled like shit the rest
you,
of the day.
I guarantee you there's health codes. I guarantee you. You can't just spray paint in a room filled with people with no ventilation.
Dude, no one's seen Bloodsport? Hire some fucking dude, just goes out there between the rounds and scrubs the mats.
Yeah, but that's not good for the crowd. The crowd doesn't want to see that.
Fuck the crowd right now. Let's get that dude in there.
They're frauds, though, when you start spray painting the mat. They're watching it. I agree. They didn't put up a curtain. What's going on behind the curtain? No one knows. What's that smell? No one knows.
We have no idea.
Fucking gray smoke is in the air. Everyone's coughing.
Fighters like, what the fuck?
I actually got away from the desk. I put my headphones down, and I backed away from the desk. I'm like, what the fuck, man? I'm healthy, bitch. I'm the keto kid.
I'm the keto kid, too, you son of a bitch. You guys are fucking up the skin. Dude, you don't think they could hire, like, some, I don't know, former fighter with fucking CTE just to scrub the mats?
Oh,
and when he
so
comes
rude.
Out, everyone goes, yeah!
That's
like,
so
he's a
rude.
Celebrity. Then he has sponsors on his shirt and shit, and he's scrubbing the mats?
This is like Ben Stiller's character in that movie Tropic Thunder. Like you could see like him having played a guy like this in a movie.
For sure, man. Shit has gone bad if you're doing that.
That's awful. Can you imagine if they had former fighters cleaning the octagon and waving to the crowd with broken hands?
Oh, my God. Holy, is that Junie Browning scrubbing the mat? It sure is. It sure is.
Yeah, there's certain things that we have to maintain a certain level of empathy
and care.
Man. And just like certain people can't have that job.
No.
Once you're an all-time great, you cannot...
Oh, no, you can't,
yeah,
you can't do that. You can't even interview for the job.
Yeah.
I can't have you.
But you could do it if you wanted to, though. Like, if everybody knew you were okay. Like,
what
if Randy,
you just had, like, a super fan?
Like, if Randy Couture decided in between fights he was going to help, scrub the
knee
mat.
Pads on
and he looked up at everybody, and he waved. And Randy's in great health, you know?
Fuck,
he looked
yeah.
at everybody, waved to everybody, and then got down and showed everybody, hey, he's not too big for cleaning the blood.
That.
He could do it if he wanted to do
no,
it.
No, people would start crying in the stands.
No.
Is that
wouldn't.
The natural?
No.
Fuck, man.
Because he's,
he has overalls on, like knee pads, start scrubbing the mat and shit.
But what I'm saying is he's still successful right now. It's not like he's down the dumps and everybody knows he's doing movies. He's always doing the Dependables. The Expendables.
Better name.
The Expendables.
Dependables.
I mean, everybody
Makes
knows
sense.
He's doing well. So it wouldn't be, you would say he's just doing it to show he's not above cleaning the blood off the mat.
Fuck, no, how dare you? He's a national treasure, you son of a bitch. You can't have Randy Couture. You need, hear me out here, like Dada 5000 in that bitch.
Oh, you better
just like
stop
everyone's
right
like,
now.
Yeah.
I think this is racist. I'm not sure.
What? Just because he's scrubbing the mats? You can't have Randy do it. I'll do it. If Randy does that job, I will fuck that. Give me that brush.
You'll do it too?
I will rush in there and save the day.
I would do it as well. I feel like
it's Randy Couture, like, man. How dare you take it to Randy Couture?
I was just saying Randy could do it because he's that humble.
Because his stature.
Yeah, because he's of his stature, because he's still... Well, first of all, if you hear him talk, you would never think, other than looking at his cauliflower ear, you know, you would never think that Randy Couture had a lifetime of fighting.
No, he beat the game. He's killing it.
Crazy.
Yeah.
And
handsome devil, too.
And it's not like he didn't lose by knockout a few times.
Heavyweight. I mean, he got TKO'd by Brock Price. Oh, well.
Lyoto Machida knocked him out with a flying front kick
out.
In his last fight. Remember? Jumping front kick
in
the face. So that was Lyoto. I mean, he had been knocked out by Chuck.
Lesnar.
Bad. Lesnar. Lesnar
TKO.
Was a TKO, but Chuck was bad, man. Chuck,
really bad.
Chuck torqued his head.
Yeah.
So, you know, there was two Chuck fights where he lost by knockout. Right?
Yeah. Either way,
he
Randy
beat Chuck once. He beat Chuck once, and
beat
then Chuck
once,
beat him twice.
Twice. Correct.
I mean, so anyway, my point is, Randy talks perfect. Mm. When you hear him talk, he's smiling, and he seems happy.
There's a couple guys like it. So does Tito Ortiz. He speaks pretty well.
Tito always had, like, a little bit of anxiety on mm-hmm. camera that, like, would fuck him up. Like, there's those classic videos of Tito when he was doing the affliction stuff.
I'm not saying he's fucking Bob
Costas.
That's
just anxiety.
No,
that's
I'm just saying
is.
He speaks well. Like,
yes.
If you have a conversation
oh,
with
yeah,
him, there's
yeah,
no brain
there's nothing
trauma.
Wrong with him. Yeah. No, good point. And, you know, there's a lot of other guys that have been around for a long time that they don't have anything wrong with them. You know, there's a lot of guys mm-hmm. that made it through and you talk to them and they seem absolutely fine.
Have you seen that movie Concussion?
No.
That shit will make you question what you're doing with your life.
Really?
I watched it on a plane before Brian and I had one of our live firing the kids, and it fucked me up, man.
Wow.
Bad. Really,
really?
Bad. Mm-hmm. It's crazy.
How much of it is based on reality and how much of it is a dramatic?
I looked into it afterwards. I mean, you know, obviously for the movies, they exaggerate stuff. But as far as the guys dying and the head trauma, stuff like that, that's all real, man. Right. And the NFL hiding stuff, that's all real. That's why the lawsuit. That's why all the NFL guys are the lawsuit, because they went, oh, no, that's all fake. It's not true. There's no brain trauma caused by football. And they hid all this thing. And by this doctor finding this stuff and trying to reveal it, they were trying to fuck him over, man. It's nuts.
And that's all real.
All real.
See, that's where it's crazy, because the NFL is still in business. Oh. Is this guy still around?
They can't get any bigger. Yeah, the doctor, he's still around.
He's still around.
Yeah, but he didn't want to be involved in the NFL. They offered him a full-time gig to help him out, and he's like, nah, man.
Wow. I need to watch it so I know exactly.
You need to watch it. It's fucking intense, man. I watched it, and I was like, fuck.
Look, football's dangerous.
I got super done, and I just looked at Brian. Brian goes, what's wrong? And I went, I'm fucked. Brian started laughing. He goes, what are you talking about? I went, I watched Concussion, man. He goes, no, you haven't done that much. Like, well, 20
don't
years of
listen
football.
Listen to me. Don't ever listen to Brian.
Oh, I know.
If you ever think that something might be wrong,
go
never go to
out.
Brian, because Brian will tell you you're fine. The house burned down, but it's because, you know, it's still the place where
the
house was.
You can still sleep on it.
You camp. You're going camping for a few years.
That's Brian. That's why you love him, man. But yeah, man, that movie, a fucking...
Some guys have made it through even Super Bowl careers, but it's not a lot. The problem is when they test former football players for CTE, an alarming number show signs of CTE, like an alarming number.
My only question is, what do you think was going to happen?
Mm.
You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't think we knew it to this degree, but same time, like, when I would run face first into another giant man, I'm like, God, it can't be healthy for my brain.
No.
You know? But, like, the way they talk about a concussion is, if you put, like, an apple in a water bottle and you shake it, like, there's water in there, that's, like, your brain. Where most, like, you know those rams that headbutt each other, mm-hmm. like a woodpecker? They have mechanisms in their head that absorb that shock. Humans don't.
Right.
So when we run into each other, your brain is smacking against this wall because we're not meant to do that.
Right.
We're not meant to punch each other in the face and run into each other with helmets on. We're just not built for that.
No, we haven't really developed the ability to absorb punishment. Or if we had that ability, we lost it.
Yes.
That's possible, too. Mm-hmm. Like, if you look at Neanderthals, they were built very different than us. You know, they were very short and thick. I think they only were, like, a little bit over 5 feet tall, and they weighed more than 200 pounds.
They
Jesus.
Had these
big-ass bones, big, thick bones. They had bigger brains than ours, too. So they were built different, you know, and they were just dealing with shit all the time. When they find them, they're always finding ones with broken bones and fucking spear points lodged in their spine.
Real,
oh, yeah.
That's a day in the life of a caveman.
It's not a good time.
But like,
our brains today, like this body today.
Just
like,
floating.
Well, also, you see, like, people are becoming, they seem like if you look at people's, like, bone structure in comparison to, obviously, Neanderthal, which is a different species, but some people retain some percentage of Neanderthal DNA, but you would assume that as people go further and further away from the ancient hominids, the ancient monkeys and stuff, we're getting softer and weaker.
You become know,
we're
pussies. Getting,
yeah, we're becoming more and more
pussies. More softer, for sure.
But yeah, we're involved in, like, football is the biggest sport in the, well, definitely the biggest sport in the country. Not the biggest sport in the world, obviously.
By far biggest in the country, though.
By far
they
the
own
biggest
two days.
The
they own Monday and Sunday, which is nuts.
Not only that, when there's a Super Bowl, it's a fucking, almost a national holiday. Super Bowl Sunday is like, everybody knows it. Everybody knows Super Bowl Sunday.
Everyone.
It's that big, like, the World Series can come and go and people might miss it. But they don't miss Super Bowl Sunday.
Never. But you know what's weird, talking about, you know, those Nathandrals, the cavemen, how they were big?
Yeah.
So NFL players are actually getting bigger, though. The athletes getting bigger and faster and stronger. Like, they're getting way bigger.
Yeah.
Like, a 300-pound lineman in 1988, it was like, damn, that's a big boy. Now, it's like, 300, bitch, get out of here. You better go step your game up.
Yeah, I wonder what that is. Might be steroids.
Yeah.
What are they testing for? Do they test for shit in the NFL?
Yeah, but, you know, usually it's once a year.
Once a year.
It depends. Unless you've been caught before, then you're in a program where you're getting tested all the time.
But why would they catch them? Why would they try to catch them? Like, what are they?
Because you're an
prove?
Idiot. Ah, I agree.
What are they trying to prove?
Same thing. Yeah, sports. The sport is safe. Look, we're testing everyone.
Shit, but that just makes you recover slower. You know, it's
a weird dynamic. Man.
It is a weird dynamic because you want people to be gigantic,
dude.
And
no one talks
for being
no
gigantic.
One talks about this, and I know it, you know, the WWE fans are fucking ruthless, but how many WWE athletes die? Like, China just died, what, last night, 2 nights ago? Remember the big girl China? She just died. Like, yeah. It's kind of alarming because there's not a ton of them, right? But when they get older, they die.
What did China die from?
I don't know.
I think she was, how old was she?
She died in her house.
45, I believe.
45?
Yeah. Not that old.
She was on Fear Factor.
Really?
Yeah.
Before she was big or like as a
celebrity?
No,
she was big, man. She was a celebrity. Yeah.
What's she doing on there?
She did some gross shit.
Eating like snails and
but she
ass.
Did one thing, and after she got out of this thing, she goes, "Who's the man?"
Oh fuck!
She flexed. She made
the least
muscular.
Sexy thing I've ever heard in my life.
Well, she wasn't trying to be sexy.
I'm just saying, as
victorious.
Me, for me, victorious. Who's the man?
She went into porn. You remember that?
I do remember that.
Yeah,
as She-Hulk Triple X.
Yeah, that was whoa.
Why I know the title? I have no idea. Don't ask.
Well, I think when people don't have a whole lot of options, they start getting real desperado and they don't know what to do.
That would be El Desperado doing She-Hulk Triple X.
Yeah. Oh, is this her?
Oh, that's you and her, son.
Look at her muscles. Look how skinny I am.
I feel like she would have fucked you up back then.
No, fuck her up.
You're too quick and
rest
light.
In peace. That's sad though, man. So let's find out what happened. Was it pills?
They don't know. They don't.
I'm trying to find it out.
They don't know, man.
Super nice, man. Real friendly. She was a real nice person.
Yeah, she followed me on Twitter.
Nice to everybody, like on the set and everything like that.
That's a bummer, man. But I think it's a conversation to have. Like the substance they put in their bodies, and you look at their schedule, be on the road 300 days a year, constantly falling uppers, downers. Like, I know it's not legit. I know it's not a legit sport compared to the NFL, UFC stuff, and NBL or all that stuff. But you got to talk about it,
yeah.
Because these guys are passing away. But there's no regulatory. Like, no one's making sure. There's no commission.
Well, they're certainly athletes, but I think a lot of people think of them as athletes more of like a Cirque du Soleil type thing, like they're doing a performance.
Yeah.
Then they think of them as competitors in a sport, so they don't look to try to regulate it or change it. They look at it as sort of like an entertainment thing these people are doing.
No, you know what I'm saying? I'm with you, man. I'm with you. But they're taking some performance-enhancing supplements that a lot of the pro athletes are taking even more so, I think, because their schedules are way crazier.
Oh, yeah. No doubt.
So when they pass away, I think there has to be some sort of plan in place, I think, you know?
Well, the
like
problem
when I saw
is,
she died, I was like, God damn.
Well, the problem
one?
Is she hasn't worked for them in a long time. That's one. And the second thing is if she was doing pills or she was abusing any other substances, they're not really responsible for that. Like we don't know how much of what she was doing just because she was into recreational drugs. There was obviously some steroids involved.
I'm referring to the steroids, Joe.
Oh, you think that did it to her? I think it was a pill thing.
I don't know.
Yeah, I think I'm pretty sure she overdosed, dude.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Well, I'm not saying she overdosed on testosterone or something.
No, I'm just saying what they do with their bodies.
She was
on pain pills.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure.
I'm pretty positive. That's what they're saying, right? A lot of people were saying that, right?
She was on an opium gym not too long ago. She had just came back from Japan, where I think she'd been living for the last couple of years.
Oh, teaching English.
Yeah, just getting away from the craziness of America. And she was just coming back to get back into life and entertainment. And
damn.
She was found dead after not talking to anybody for 6 days or something like that is what
she went dark. That sucks, man.
Fucking.
I just think it's something to look into with the WWE guys. It's a discussion to fucking have, at least.
Well, I'm sure they must be having it. It's a giant organization.
You don't
They're
think
probably
we should have
aware.
Had it after Chris Benoit?
Again, there's one of those guys who goes off the rails like that and does something horrific. And you got to wonder, like, was that in that guy anyway? Did he have issues already? Did it have something to do with wrestling? Did it have something to do with substance abuse?
Concussions? They get a shitload of concussions.
It could be a lot of different factors.
I agree.
It's definitely something to look into, but it's so rare that someone goes that far off the rails like he did.
Oh, I agree. I'm just saying let's look at what they're doing to their bodies and have a discussion about it to make it safer so to prevent it from happening. That's it. I'm not saying it's an epidemic. I'm just saying
I don't know how
a lot
you
of these
could.
Guys are
what are you,
fucked.
Captain Save-A-Ho over here trying to save everybody? People want to do flips off the top rope? Possible overdose or natural death. Boy, that
Hey, okay. Natural at 46? No one finds that fishy?
That doesn't seem to make a lot of sense. Dead on her bed after receiving a call for... Oh, okay. We don't need to read all the rest
Redondo.
Of this. She's a very nice person.
Yeah.
So rest in peace.
I know. Buns me.
China. Nice lady.
Hey, let's at least get it on a good note. How about your boy Ben Henderson going for the Triple Crown? Bellator, WC, UFC belt. And say what?
No one's talking about it.
Not nothing.
Who is he fighting?
He's fighting this Russian cat, and I wish I could remember his name. I've even trained with him, so I'm an even bigger prick for that. But it's a tough fight for Ben. He's beat better guys, but it's not a walk in the park.
It's just weird that no one's bringing it up at all.
See, that's the disadvantage of signing with Bellator.
Yeah,
Bellator. Because imagine if he was doing this in the UFC, he'd be fucking everywhere.
But it's, oh, Korshkov. Well, you know, what's interesting is I don't watch half of the Bellator ones. I don't even watch half of them. I know they're probably pretty good fights.
I watch them if they're the major ones. Like, obviously, I watch Ben, yeah. Phil, King Mo, mm-hmm. a lot of these guys that I like.
But I'm like, what is missing? What is missing from even drawing me in? I mean, I almost feel like detached from it because I feel insulted by the freak show element.
Me too. I feel like it was insulted. A slap in my face. Like, I'm like, dude, you set us back, man.
I feel like a dummy for watching
me
it.
Me too.
Really, right?
I agree.
Yeah. Whereas, I don't feel like that if I watch Glory or if I watch anything else or if I watch ONE FC. I don't feel like that. I feel like I'm getting shit on. Like, you're putting together nonsense.
This might sound weird to say. I almost feel like I'm cheating on the UFC when I watch and I talk about it. I'm like, ooh.
Really?
Is that weird? Yeah.
I think it's good to have competition. I think it's important.
I agree. They have the ways to go.
They do. But they
Ben's a good step in the right direction.
They didn't have to, though. They didn't have to. If they did the right thing and promoted it the right way, they went for, like, big ratings on a couple of these weird fights, which the UFC did, too, sort of, in the early 2000s.
Oh, early
when
days.
Tank Abbott came back.
Yeah.
I mean, there was a few of those times, you know?
You had to do that back when it getting started.
They did some fights back then that were, in comparison, silly.
But people didn't consider a sport really
back
then.
It was coming along.
Correct.
But the sport's already established now. And so they're taking advantage of these old veterans like Hoyce and Ken Shamrock and having that fight. And it's going to draw in the casual, nostalgic viewer that remembers UFC 1. And they're going to go and they're going to watch it.
There's no sustainability with that. It's just not there.
There's no sustainability. And the other problem is that for whatever reason, I don't know what the reason is, you're not hearing a lot of noise about their champs, you know, and you kind of should. It's weird. Will Brooks is a bad motherfucker. Chandler's a bad motherfucker.
Bad motherfucker.
They got some great fighters over there. Patricky Pitbull's a bad motherfucker.
Monsters, man.
Very good fighters. So it just seems like whatever they've done wrong.
Ben was on ESPN.
Yeah, that's good.
He was on ESPN talking about
it. I'm glad they're giving it some press. Look, they definitely need, like, the UFC could use competition. And I think it would boost the sport, whereas it would make the sport bigger. I just don't think that Bellator in its current state is competition. They're taking a lot of fighters that are past their prime, except for Benson. Benson going over there is the biggest coup, I think. Phil's big.
Phil's not past his prime.
No, but Phil had been beaten soundly by Rumble. He did have that really good fight against Glover.
He beat Glover. He beat Machida.
That's
he
true.
Beat some
the Machida
dudes.
Fight was super, super close.
Still, though. Yeah. He's still a win. Yeah. He's beat Gustafson.
That's true. He strangled him. Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah. I mean, but the thing about Phil is Phil isn't a guy. Phil's fighting style isn't a guy where you're like, I have to fucking see this.
You say that, but in Bellator, he looked fucking sensational. He looked like a destroyer.
Amazing.
He won by stoppage.
Amazing.
And maybe he's off to a new start. Maybe he recognizes the urgency of being in a new organization.
Oh, he's one of the best fighters in the world. And going over there, I think, you know, he was the first guy to do it. I remember texting him going, you got some motherfucking balls. Good luck, man. You know, and he's like, he texted me, I'm so scared. Hell yeah, man. It's scary. It's paying off, right? Because where's that now?
Yeah.
And now Ben Henderson. And they got Mitrione. Mitrione's a little older, but at least at heavyweights. Mitrione could be champion.
So those are three completely legit guys that they've acquired.
You need a stable.
Yeah. Well, it would have been interesting if they got Fedor. It would have been interesting.
Well, Fedor's playing grab ass, and he's fighting Maldonado.
Yeah. I don't know what that's all about.
I might be wrong on this. You might have to look it up, Jamie. I think it's on Fight Pass.
What is?
Fedor might be on Fight Pass, I thought, that fight.
Really? Versus Maldonado?
Risen is on Fight Pass.
Come on.
Am I crazy here? I'm making shit up?
Really?
I don't know. This ketogenic diet. It's just my brain on another level.
It would be funny if you really nailed it. But he's been saying lately that he's been in talks with the UFC.
And I think he would give it a good go because you look at the state of the heavyweight division. Everyone's old as fuck.
Bunch of
fossils.
But don't you think they put him immediately with Verdum?
I like that matchup.
I like that matchup too, but I think you have to do it that way, right?
Fuck yeah. You can't toss him like some young dude.
But what young dude do we even have?
We don't have one.
No, we don't really have a lot of...
I couldn't name one. But I'm saying for him, like, there's a resurgence of all these older fighters. Look at Rothwell, Arlovsky, fucking Hunt, Frank Mir, Grant, he just lost. But all these guys are old as fuck.
Mm.
Dude, Fedor, there's hope, my man. He can still do it.
You never know, man.
With that skinny fat build, just fucking dudes up.
If he still has that motivation. You know.
And there's drug testing now. I'm not saying he did something.
What are you trying to say, bro?
I hate to piss on the pride days, but I'm just saying, it ain't the wild, wild west. We have to see your dick this time.
Yeah, we don't know. We're just speculating.
I'm just saying.
It is totally
guys
possible.
Guys look different.
Yeah.
Fights
guys
are
look
different.
Does he look different? Well, he doesn't weight train anymore.
No,
but
let
he,
me know
he
what steroids
thicker.
You were taking, because I would never touch him. Because physically, I'm going for looks here.
But he got thicker again before his most recent comeback. Like, there was all sorts of posts about it online. I saw some photos of him training, and he looked thicker.
Back to the old days, like throwing around logs and shit?
He looked bigger.
Pretending they're kettlebells and shit?
He definitely looked like he had been doing some weightlifting, because there had come a time in his career where it looked like the weightlifting days were over.
I agree.
Like, the early days, he was way thicker and bigger, and then as he got older, he concentrated more on skills and less on strength and conditioning.
And that's not him.
Yeah, I think you need both.
I think, especially this day and age, but when he was fighting, man.
Mm-hmm. I think he just put a lot of emphasis on his striking in particular and his ability to explode with combinations. If you go like to the Tim Sylvia fight, the speed of combinations that he was hitting guys with.
And his hips,
yeah.
The power in his hips, mm-hmm. It's insane, man.
Yeah.
I think he has a legit shot to do some work in the heavyweight division. Now, if you're his age and you come back to 55-70, you're fucked.
Yeah.
But his age at heavyweight, hell yeah, son.
Well, what age is he? 36?
No, he has to be at least 38, 39, right?
Fedor? We'll find out.
Him versus Barnett or something? Throwback, son?
I honestly don't think he's that old.
No?
Man. I don't think he's that old.
39.
39? Wow, interesting.
But I'm telling you, this ketogenic diet, that's my brain firing, son.
Dude,
it's like pulling old shit out.
UFC offered Fedor Emelianenko more money than Ryzen. Probability to fight inside the octagon very high. Whoa. Holy shit. That'd be intense. Why is he have boxing gloves on there?
Because he's fucking people.
Are those boxing gloves?
No, those are just big-ass. Those are Affliction.
Really?
Where they're all big, yeah.
Oh, wow, they're huge.
Are those Affliction? Yeah, those are Affliction,
yeah,
son.
Yeah, it's just they look a lot bigger than they do.
Yeah, they do. It's the wraps.
Yeah.
Dude, can you imagine? This is almost hard to say. Can you imagine Fedor in a Reebok kit walking the octagon? I might buy that Reebok kit. If it was white and red,
would
you? Fedor on the back?
Fedor?
Oh, be the first kid I buy, son. Be fucking dope. Or I'd just make my own.
I'd wear a Fedor shirt for sure.
Fuck yeah. I used to wear a Crow Cop security shirt.
Did you really?
Oh,
where'd
before
you get
I fought him. I bought it online from like Croatia. It came like 9 weeks later and it was too small, but I still rocked it. Like my belly hung out underneath it, but I was like, fuck it. No one really knew who he was. I used to train that thing all the time.
How weird was it getting a call to fight that guy after that?
So weird. Might be the best call I've ever had in my life.
Well, it was one of the best results you ever had in the octagon.
Yeah, might be the best, Joe. After that, if someone said, hey, man, let's just kind of move on from here, I'm like, all right. If you showed me a crystal ball, all right. It's all right from here, but I'll just move on.
What do you think of OSP and John Jones?
I think OSP, he's an explosive guy, but, man, John's just too smart, too long to get caught. I think it's a good... I hate saying this because OSP is such a good athlete and he's ranked in the top 10 or whatever, but it's a good tune-up fight for John.
Wow.
I know it's fucked up.
Well,
but
the number 6 light heavyweight is a good tune-up fight for you.
Light heavyweight is struggling, son.
Well, sort of, but not really. It's like there's so much possibility there.
In the
like
top first, 5.
Yeah. What Glover just did to Rashad, holy shit, man. That was hard to watch. It was hard to watch because, you know, Rashad was super tentative and was on the outside. It was moving away from Glover, and Glover just closed the distance and closed the lights.
Like the Terminator. Oh. There couldn't be a worse matchup for Rashad. Like, I just wish, and I get it, man. People are like, well, fighters fight. I get that, man. But Rashad's stage in his career, sometimes you got to have a manager go, dude, Glover's he does everything better than you right now. Let's figure something else out, bro. You win this one. Are you going to fight for the title? Probably not.
I think he's got to take whoever he can. You know, like, so look what we got here. This is what I want to see.
Oh, please,
Anthony Johnson and Glover. Come on,
fuck.
Son.
What?
Especially after
what?
Glover called for it.
That's the best fight in the UFC right now.
Yes, please make that happen.
If there's one fight that could get me go to a UFC fight, it'd be that.
And by the way, I don't know who the fuck to bet on.
Me neither.
How about that?
Me neither.
That shit could be chaos in both directions.
I think goes past the first round, Glover takes over.
Maybe.
But that first round's going to be a motherfucker.
That first round is like one of those scenes in a movie where like a building explodes and you have to run through the rubble without it hitting you in the head.
Yeah, son.
Like you got a minefield to navigate when you're fighting Rumble. That's one mistake.
If that
one
fight
way or
doesn't
another.
Get you crunk, you fucking, you're an idiot.
And is Gustafson retiring? Like, I've been hearing that Gustafson doesn't want to fight
yeah,
anymore.
Yeah, like I saw an interview he did where he's saying he's like lost the passion for it. So he came to San Diego hoping he could find it, and I'm not sure if he did. But when you start talking like that, I want you to look at the top three because Glover, Anthony, and John Jones will rip your dick off and they want this more than anything.
Yeah.
So it's probably time to maybe give it up.
It's interesting that Bader beat Ovin St. Preux, so he should be ranked above him.
True.
And then Rashad, Shogun's still in the mix, huh?
Dude,
at eight.
You're crazy if you think light heavyweight's good. That's just shit. That keto gets me another level. I didn't mean to say shit.
It is, though. It is. Look, hey, past six, fuck you. Fuck you. Well, Ovince, Rashad, Shogun, Jimmy Manoa is a guy that just was not in martial arts that long before he was fighting top-level guys at the MMA.
Who you tell?
He's a sick athlete with ridiculous power. And I just feel
the game's
like,
changed.
Yeah.
No one gives a fuck. Because now you have real fighters go, what? You're fast. Get punch out power. That's cool. I'm just going to take you down.
He fought Rumble, man. When he fought Rumble. Well, Gustafson stopped him before the Rumble fight in a very important fight.
Why do they do him like that? Here's Rumble. Here's Gustafson.
Yeah.
God damn
luck.
It.
I know.
God damn it.
Double whammy of death. You're fighting a guy that's boxing you up from another zip code.
You're just like, fuck, then, I can't get a break. Welcome to UFC, bitch.
And then you fight Rumble. Dude's got literal nuclear weapons tied to the end of his hands.
They got Shogun and Little Nog in the top 10.
That's a hard sell. Especially yeah. Little Nog is a hard sell as a top 10 guy. And that's a good argument. That
but there's
division.
No one. Yeah, there's no one. Like, you look at the heavier divisions, mm-hmm. and, like, at heavyweight, I mean, there's fun matchups. Everyone's old as fuck, though, really, man. And then you look at light heavyweight, there's not a lot going on outside the top five. And in the top five, Alexander doesn't know if he wants to do it anymore.
It's very important. Yeah, very, very good point.
But why do you think that, Joe? Why do you think these bigger athletes aren't gravitating towards mixed martial arts?
Well, I don't know if it's that or if it just comes in waves. You know, I think sometimes you have a guy like John Jones and they create a bit of a bottleneck because they're so good. I mean, we can't forget about Cormier, of course. So just in that alone, you've got John Jones and Cormier. Cormier is as good as anybody in the world.
Oh,
you got
sure.
Anthony Johnson who can knock out a tree. You got Glover. You got Gustafson. And who knows what could or couldn't happen this weekend with Ovin St. Preux. You know, the guys on that list, when I'm looking at them, I'm like, well, you've got at least 1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
Yeah, six legit guys.
Six legit world beaters.
Six legit, but you're talking about the biggest organization in the world. Mm-hmm. After that, it's like, yeah, not much going on. There's no young talent where you're like, dude, there's no Sage Northcutts.
Yeah,
you
but
know?
Doesn't it happen in cycles and weight classes? Because there was no one at 185 for a while. 185 was struggling for a while.
Let me see 185, Jamie.
185. Now you've got, well, you know, once Anderson lost and Weidman came in, now you've got, look at this crazy mix. And I don't know what they're going to do with Yoel Romero, but what I understand is that he has a very small window where they're going to ban him for. Like, only like
really?
5 months. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Good
what
for
he
him.
Did, what he did was he was actually honest. They got the stuff independently off the shelf that he said that he took. They took that stuff and they tested it, and it had low levels of whatever this peptide is that's supposed to grow testosterone in your body or something like that.
Well,
so he really didn't take anything that he wasn't supposed to take. He took something that had something in it that wasn't supposed to be in it, and he proved it.
But, Joe, even if you go through middleweight, look, okay, Vitor, he ain't that young. Bisping, I mean,
yeah,
not young, has one eye. Anderson Silva, okay, leg fell off. Lyoto Machida, well, older. Musasi, Tim Kennedy, Leedy's, like, there's not Dan Henderson's in there.
How is Musasi ranked above Uriah Hall when Uriah Hall jump-spinning back-kicked him in the face and stopped him?
Whoever votes on this thinks it's a fluke.
Those are ridiculous people.
Mm-hmm.
That is a ridiculous ranking.
They're the ones writing articles that you're speaking
about. You cannot be two steps above a guy when a guy stopped you in your last fight.
That is weird.
You cannot.
I wish our boy Tim Kennedy would get a fight.
That's an arrogant assessment of someone's ability in comparison to someone else's ability that's not based on facts. You have to base individual interactions between two fighters. You have to base them on facts.
Yes, it's very black and white.
It's very black and white. There's no doubt about it that Uriah Hall proved himself to be the better fighter. Gegard Mousasi took him down and controlled him in the first round. In the second round, Uriah Hall jump-spinning back-kicked him in the face and knocked him out.
Yeah, I saw that.
There's no more definitive ending. This is an insult to him, to have him at number 10 have Gegard at number 8.
Well, the only thing you can do with these riders, because it's basically a popularity contest, right? Mm-hmm. If a guy keeps winning, it's a popularity contest. But the champs, you can't deny, right? The champ in one and two, it's kind of, there's no honey dick.
What do you see one Brazilian rider put fucking notorious MMA? He put him four notches lower after he knocked out Aldo.
Yeah, Connor. Yeah.
Yeah.
How crazy is that?
How the fuck could you do that?
Well, I don't know how, but why, does anyone take these serious? But that's why.
But how could you do that? I mean, you might not like Connor. You might think that Connor's a brash guy and he insulted your champion and he insulted your country and blah, blah, blah. And then he smashes him with one punch in 13 seconds.
You're just not professional. Well, and also, you're fucked. Like, no one can take your word for anything.
Yeah, I mean, how the fuck do you drop that guy down 4 points with a perfect performance?
Well, I think for the fans, it's like, oh, check it out. 6 versus 10. Like, it makes the more mainstream, like, oh, look at 6 versus 10. That's the number 6 guy in the world versus number 10. But you can't remember when they're going to do Reebok based off rankings. And even the fighters, like, what the fuck are you talking about?
Those rankings.
And then even Dana was like, yeah, that's some bullshit.
Yeah. Anderson versus Uriah Hall is going to be very interesting. That's in Brazil, brother. That's in May.
That Brazil card's a motherfucker.
It is stacked.
I heard the promo on it. Sick, too. It's just a bunch of Brazilians beating people up.
That's an intense card, man. That's a very intense card. Look at this.
Well, I forgot about Overeem
Arlovski. Overeem. Oh, good Lord.
Yeah, look at that Brazil card. Oh, shit, Cyborg. Leslie Smith. She deserves some sort of award right fucking now.
I know. She's fighting Cyborg.
She's going to rip your face off.
What courage. Why they have Cyborg no picture on the left, but a picture on the right?
They ain't ready for it.
They're not ready for it. They're not even ready. Go back to the other card. When the Arlovski fight, what card was
that? That card is a motherfucker.
What card was the Arlovski fight on?
That's a FS1?
FS1 card? Ooh. That's an interesting fight, man. And whenever I count Arlovski out, he comes back and wins again.
It's like the Terminator.
How many times has he been stopped? It's an insane number now. It's like a very high number. He's been stopped a gang of times.
We don't fight as long as he does, and not especially at heavyweight, not get stopped. Look at how many times has Overeem been stopped.
Dude, look at that
fight. I've seen Overeem get flatlined.
Look at Albert Tumanov versus Gunnar Nelson.
That's a great fight.
Ooh, that's a good fight. Tumanov is a motherfucker.
Damn,
man.
Struve back. Bigfoot Silva. Bigfoot needs to figure it out. Now that they have this drug test, and it's tough, man.
Yeah. Yeah, it's hard out there for a pimp.
As a heavyweight, see a lot of guys get stopped. That's part of the game.
Who else is on this weekend? Go back to this weekend's card.
That Brazil card is ridiculous. Leslie Smith with that salty record, 8-6, signed up to fight
lady.
Cyborg.
I wonder how Cyborg is going to deal with the 140 cut. Her first time dropping on 140.
I think she's going to chew bitches' faces off. I think everyone should fucking run. Every girl in the division is like, fuck.
Well, I hope they give her a 145-pound division. I think she deserves it. They've had that division in Invicta. It's an established division. There's plenty of girls out there that'll fight at 145. And that way she's not dying trying to make the weight. She's a big girl, man.
She's a big girl. The thing is, how many big girls are there? Is it sustainable?
Let's find out.
Sustainable?
Let's find out.
Can you do that, though? Or
Gina Carano did it in Strikeforce. I mean, that was the whole thing. Or Elite XC. Right? Was it Strikeforce or Elite XC?
It was Elite XC. However,
Elite XC, that was her whole thing. She was fighting 145.
Joe, look at my face.
I'm looking at your face.
You can build a division around Gina Carano when she looks like
You can build a division around Cyborg when she's smashing chicks. You can. I firmly believe you could build
the
division around Cyborg.
Who the fuck's
going
to sign up for that? No, you can't.
I would watch it.
If she's
watch
Mike
it?
Tyson, every little girl she runs into, you can't do it.
You can do it.
I
you
disagree.
Can do it. And you have her keep talking shit to everybody at 135. You know, come up to me and fight me.
No one's
belt.
Doing that.
She
no one's like, I'll do it.
Yeah.
Come
fuck,
on.
Jukebox tattoo. Come on, dude. She's a monster. I like
fuck
it.
Fuck yeah, she's a monster.
I like giving her a shot at the 145-pound title. Make her. She want to have her fight this fight. She's going to fight Leslie Smith, who normally fights at 135. You make it a catchweight fight because Leslie is brave enough to take that challenge. But then create a 145. Take some of them Invicta girls.
I disagree, Joe. I think you.
Well, what do you do with her then?
You make her fight at 140. What,
we don't
you
even
compromise.
Know how well her body's going to handle.
Let's say she does decent though. But all your superstars at 135. Mm. So then you just do these super fights. A 140 where right. Misha could be champ at 135 or 140.
Right.
And you have this monster at 140. But at least she's fighting Misha Tate and getting that coverage, or Ronda Rousey or Holly Holm.
Right.
But if you do 145, okay, now we got to find 145 badasses at 145 girls.
Well, the real interesting fight at 140 is Holly, who's fought as high as, I want to say she fought at like 150 before in boxing.
You're right, at 150. And I thought it was like 152.
Two.
Yeah.
So that would be the fight. Because first of all, she was without a doubt the most experienced striker in all of the UFC. It's women's divisions. As far as boxing competition, MMA competition, and kickboxing, I mean, she's a 19-time boxing champion. She's won kickboxing titles, and she won the UFC crown.
I think she's the only female in the UFC who can beat Cyborg.
See, that would be a fascinating fight, because she's got that style of like counter-striking and moving away and almost a karate base with a lot of athleticism and footwork. And Cyborg is just a destroyer.
But what happens when you go forward on Holly? You get fucking murked. Yeah. So a girl like Cyborg coming forward is tailor-made for Holly. All
Maybe.
These other girls, enjoy that.
Maybe.
Enjoy Frank the Tank Brazilian.
I just don't know. I mean, she's bigger and stronger. It's going to be and she can take a punishment. She took a lot of punishment. Do you see the Jorina Barge fight in Lion Fight?
I did not.
She fought Jorina.
Oh, I did. Yeah, girl's a fucking monster.
Barge
she
is a
lost.
Monster.
Cyborg lost by decision.
Well,
or did she get TKO'd?
No, she lost by decision, but she got punted in the face.
Yes.
She got teeped
she
in the face.
Face.
Barge is no joke, man. She's one of the best Muay Thai fighters on the planet.
Yeah, world champion.
She's so slick. Her style's so good. And, you know, she has none of the physical attributes that Cyborg has. Cyborg's just so strong and so powerful.
I think it's tailor-made for Holly. Any other girl is fucked.
Interesting. I would like to see it. I'll tell you that.
Any other girl's getting her titties ripped off.
I don't want to see Cyborg fight diminish so much from the weight cut that we don't get to see the real Cyborg.
I don't think she'd be enough draw to create an entire division for and revamp and try, because we're trying to build up 115, 125,
see,
right?
I think there is.
135.
See, I think if anybody's going to do it, it's going to be a woman who knocks women out. I think anybody who's going to bring light to the division, it's going to be someone
she's
like Cyborg.
She's just not young, man. If she's like a young prospect, I think you invest in
it. She doesn't have to be. The level that she's at in comparison to the level the other girls are at, she's very high. The only thing that would change is if one of those Muay Thai chicks started looking at Cyborg and went, oh, really? Oh, okay.
That'd be sick.
Okay. Okay, well, this is, you know, she's not going to take you down, most likely. She's going to try to stand with you.
Yeah.
And if these girls, like, really concentrate on the grappling, and they really concentrate, you know, 6 months sprawl training,
yeah.
You know?
We're years out from that.
Well, maybe.
You got to invest. If you're going to do it, you got to invest in that whole train. But look at a girl like Tiff Timebomb, right?
Right.
She's starting MMA now, you know that? She's training for MMA.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, if, you know, during her prime, like Miriam Nakamoto, like someone along those lines, one of the really high-level female Muay Thai champions, they would be merkin chicks in MMA.
For sure.
If they could just keep the fight standing, there's levels out there, and there's levels of striking that we just really haven't seen in the UFC. And that's one of, with some of the women fighters, but I think that's what we saw in the Barge fight with Cyborg. We saw that super, super high-level Muay Thai against the marauding style of Cyborg. And so I watched that fight, and I said two things. I said, one, amazed that Cyborg has the guts to take that fight, because it's a dangerous fight. Nobody wanted to fight Barge for like 3 fucking years. She couldn't get a fight.
Yeah.
And then how about the fact that Cyborg takes tremendous punishment and keeps going after her? I was thinking, how many other people in this division would fight this girl like
just
that?
Just Holly.
And keep getting knocked down, keep jumping back up and attacking?
I agree.
Not a lot of female MMA fighters would have been able to even stand in there in a Muay Thai
Holly.
Ring.
Right.
Yeah,
with her striking capability. Yeah. She's literally the only one. Every other girl, her head would have been kicked into the
And, of course, Young Jacek, but she's a smaller
True,
weight
but
class.
She's too small.
Yeah, yeah, man. I think the 45-pound division, man, it could open it up. Women only having 2 divisions, I think, is weak.
Well, it takes time,
third.
Though, right?
Right, but this is the time. Start the 45. This is the inaugural fight, right?
I'm not mad.
Cyborg goes out, puts on a show against Leslie Smith.
Knocks her face off.
Or doesn't. Who knows,
Well,
man?
She loses. You don't have a division.
Yeah, but if she does, if she wins, right? Boom. You got a Cyborg fighting someone legit for the championship. Marlis Kuhn comes over from Invicta, right? She's Invicta, right?
Yeah.
145. Boom. Or is she Bellator now?
Oh, she's Bellator.
That's right.
She is Bellator. Her last fight is Bellator.
They scooped her up.
But I don't think you can do that. I think you have to do a super fight with Misha or Holly.
Keep that on.
You have to do a super fight with Misha or Holly to create the buzz around Cyborg. Because the average fan's like, who the fuck is this girl ripping girls' faces
off? Here's another fight this weekend that nobody is talking about. Whitaker and Natal.
That's your fight of the night.
Ooh, Robert Whitaker, man, looked sensational in his last fight against Uriah Hall. I was like, holy shit, this kid is throwing heat.
That's your fight of the night.
He's a dangerous guy. Interesting how what a change it's been for him going up to 185.
Yeah, man.
He just looks so much healthier.
Way more powerful, too.
Way more powerful, way more confident, way more aggressive. He just doesn't feel as diminished. I think he was just too big for 170. And Natal's a beast.
Natal's fun to watch, man.
Very dangerous, man. Real good jiu-jitsu.
Caution to the win, yeah. Enzo Gracie guy. Mm-hmm. Dude, Rodriguez, though, that's your young buck. Your up-and-comer young buck.
Yair, yeah. Yes. Yair Rodriguez and Andrew Feely. That's another fucking badass fight. Ooh-wee. That's a very good fight, man.
I love watching Rodriguez fight, man.
Yeah.
He's fun.
He's wild, dude. He's wild. That guy throws wild. You ever see him train? It's hilarious.
Well, he was at Jackson's for a little bit, right?
His videos. There's videos of him hitting pads. Dude. He does like 360 roundhouse kick, 360 wheel kick, jumping front kick, round kick, side kick. I mean, the way he mixes shit up is like, who does that in pad work? But he does it like he fights.
Have you seen him go for like knee bars and leg locks
and
fucking like flips to him?
Dude,
that's the future, man.
His ground game is no joke. His ground game is very good. He's got everything going for him. He's wild. He's unpredictable. He's young. He's brash.
Damn, Andre.
He threw up when I was interviewing him.
He threw up?
He's the only guy I've ever talked to, like in the middle of talking to. He threw up in his shirt a little bit, and then he threw up on the ground.
Damn, that's that cardio, son.
We had a crazy fight. It was a wild-ass fight. So that's a good fight.
It's a good card, man. It'll be a fun card. Again, Conor's taking the spotlight a little bit.
Yeah, well, he definitely is, and that's just to be expected. He's the biggest star in the game right now. And I hope they work that out for UFC 200. It would be an even better story if they worked it out.
I bet you they do. Guarantee they do. I would almost guarantee they do.
Or they do a GSP Nate Diaz fight.
Then we got honey dicked. And then something smells fishy.
Something smells fishy?
For sure. If GSP's like, what? Hey, I've been training.
What if they come with the cash? They come with that fucking Reebok makeup money.
I bet you that Reebok makeup money. Here's a set of Reebok pumps and $6 million. There you go.
Push it in. We're all in for GSP 2000.
I think I bet they figure it out.
Yeah.
I bet you Conor ends up fighting UFC 200. That's what I believe in, and that's I think Dana and the UFC brass is gonna figure it out.
I think GSP Nate Diaz takes its place. And they use it as a negotiating tool because the pay-per-view numbers are bigger than any of the Conor fights because the UFC has, in fact, grown through their strategy.
See, I don't think the numbers beat Conor's.
What if they do?
Well, then you get then Conor's
GSP
dealt
and
the wrong
Nate
hand.
Diaz. That you're like, ooh, Conor fucked up.
Yeah, Conor fucked up. I don't think it beats his numbers though.
So OSP's best chance for this weekend, he's got to win by knockout.
First round.
You think so?
Yeah, that first round, he's gonna have to. Fucking caution in the wind. If he tries to sit there and fight, you know, like on the outside and out technique John Jones, you're going to get fucked up.
It's going to be interesting to see John with such a long layoff, too, with a lot of pressure on him.
This is what I think is going to happen. It's just me speculating. I think, and I've trained with both of them, I think John they'll feel each other out early on. John's going to get a hold of him, trip him down the ground, crucify him, and TKO him with elbows.
Wow. Mm-hmm. Wow.
If I had to bet on it, I bet John finished them on the ground.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
All right. You heard it here, folks. This weekend, UFC 197, Brendan Schaub, fighterinthekid.com,
TFATK3D.com.
TFATK3D, that's the new one?
Yeah, that's the
new one.
With
the Fighter in the Kid 3D, your videos that you guys are doing?
Yeah.
How is that? Is that fun?
Oh, the best.
Go watch it, you fucks.
Yeah.
All right, I'll be back in a little bit with another one.
That's right. You're a beast,
man. Another podcast.
Love you, brother.
Dan Auerbach. See you soon.